Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, welcome, and this is the place where we do it, whether we talk about it. Welcome to that place, all right, the prophetic place, the Prophetic Grace Network. We're here to pray for you. God bless you. We're here to hear words from God about what's going on in our globe, what's going on in the economy, what's going on in the world, what's going on anywhere, everywhere, what's happening politically, what's happening, you know, where we at in the end time, what's going on with all that. We're right here, right in the middle of it, and we're so thankful to God for letting us be here right in the middle of it. And we share a lot of information, as you guys know, that we watch happen come to pass because God wants somebody to know. Why not us? All right, we'll be the ones. We'll take it. And sometimes you pay a little price for that, but it's well worth it, as everyone knows. There's nothing like it. And the blessings you get from God through the trouble you go through, it's like it's candy for a baby. I don't eat candy, but you know what I mean? Yeah, really good for you. A lot of fun. All right, make sure and drink your water. It's summertime. People are going to be not realizing it, but they're going to be dehydrated. I think the devil's trying to whoop up on them, and all it is dehydration. Believe me, I've been through that. I know. Your mind starts drying up. Your brain is 80% water, and if it has 20% of it, is if you're down to, if you get 20% of the water missing, it causes confusion. That's what they tell you. They'll tell you that. So make sure and keep your brain watered. Water your brain. Let you outside and water your trees, water your flowers, water your grass. Make sure and water your brain, all right? Because it might help you water your grass correctly when you go out there, and you won't be confused. Yeah, that's what they tell you. They tell you that if you get down 20% on your water and your brain, you'll start having confusion. Yeah, so if you're having confusion, you know, it could be just as simple as drinking a little more water. Just try it. All right? All right. You know, we talk about that once in a while, but I've learned some big lessons from that, so I like to share it with everybody, what we're learning, what we're learning, so we can keep, learning, so we can keep burning, and keep burning for the Lord. All right? All right, good to be with you. thank you for giving. Thanks for helping. Thanks for being a part of PGN's network and making sure that we, you know, get things taken care of and, you know, trying to purchase, trying to get some land going. That's the thing. That's been a drawn out thing, it seems like to me, but we're just believing God, right? We're believing God. Yeah. So I don't know where it's all going to land exactly yet, but it's going to land some out of it. All right. Welcome, everybody. So good to be here. We've been talking, as some of you know who've been listening this week. If you listen Monday and not Tuesday, or Tuesday but not Monday, you know that we're talking about the Jewish thing right now. There seems to be a lot of downloads from the Lord to me about that, and I'm not into any particular thing. Believe me, whatever God wants to talk about, you know, it's just fun to talk about what God's talking about because there's such an energy with it. And when you just talk about anything and everything, you know, it's cool too, but there's nothing more special than talking about what God's talking about, or what he wants you to talk about, what he wants to download. And so we do that. We do our best to do that. And we've been talking about the Jewish realm, and the Jewish realm is, and the way God's downloading things, it's a sign to me as a prophet, because I know some things, you know, that God has shown me, and I've shared most of them with you guys. And if indeed we are where I believe we are, and where a lot of people are starting to think that we are, that's the sign of the Jewish realm and the manifestation of the Jews and understanding about Christ, and that Christ did not have Jewish blood. He had God's blood. If you want to call God a Jew, then he had Jewish blood. We're just going to say he had God's blood. Israelite blood. If you call God an Israelite, you know, I don't know, whatever you want to call him, but that's the blood Jesus had, was the blood of God, that God, the blood of the Word, actually, the Word became flesh. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, talk about Christ, before he became Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's St. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Well, God, the Holy Spirit, somehow took that eternal Word and turned it into sperma. It's amazing when you think about that, because the word seed means sperma. He took the seed, took the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Took the Word, my God, this is amazing, and turned it somehow into what it is, sperma, right? Turned it into seed, planted it into the womb of the precious, lovely, beautiful Virgin Mary. A lot of virgins, you know, there's Virgin Cynthia, and Virgin Penelope, Virgin, you know, you can name a lot of virgins that were in Israel, but the one that God decided to put the seed, the sperma of the Word into was Mary. Really, really cool. And we highly honor her and respect her, as most of you know. But she was a, as we have, you know, we make sure that we say this, you know, off and on, that now that we kind of get in the manifestation of Revelation, she was not born sinless. She was a beautiful, chosen woman of God. And all the women of Israel in those days, most of them were, they all wondered who would bear the seed of the Messiah, right? They all wondered who would bear the seed of the Messiah, have a child that would be after the throne of David. All right, I've been doing some research on some of this, by the way, and I think I have some of it down here. Maybe I can share some of it. I think it's, I might go there just for a minute. I don't plan on staying here long, but I do want to kind of fill you in, you guys, in just a little bit as we go, so we can all have the knowledge, some of the knowledge. And this is stuff that I look up, right? This is not personal revelation from heaven. This is knowledge that I looked up about Jewish culture, which we love. And we need it, and it's beautiful, and it's awesome. So in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 16, and Luke chapter 3, verse 23 through 38, it reveals the two different genealogies of Jesus, two different genealogies, one from Mary and one from Joseph. Now, Joseph was not his Joseph did not plant the seed of sperma of the Word in Mary. That was the Holy Spirit that did that. But Joseph fathered Jesus, if you will. He was his stepfather. And Joseph legally adopted him. So there was a reason for that, that I'm finding out. Of course, you know, we may add to and take away from some of this as we go along, but this is the basic information I'm getting. So Joseph, in Matthew 1, is that of Joseph, about the genealogy of Joseph. And so it talks about the genealogy of Joseph. And it says that it talks about that Joseph was an heir of Eli, right? Joseph became Heli, which is Eli, heir. Anyway, hang on a second. Let's back up here. This is all information I get that I found, right? So, but Joseph, it reveals the seed of Joseph, which was not the seed of Jesus, but he legally adopted him. So legally, Jesus was of the tribe of Judah and of the king of King David. And Mary was also, in her genealogy in Luke 3, is also revealing that she was kin to not only Judah, but because David was Judah, but was of the royal seed of King David, which Jesus was the seed of David. But Jesus did not have Mary's blood in him. He was born in her womb, conceived in her womb, I should say, born through her. And so therefore, you know, her being of the seed of David made Jesus of the seed of David without having the sperma of David, being born of the seed of God, placed in the womb of Mary, who is of the seed of David, is what brings that prophecy to pass. Does that make sense? Am I making sense of that? We're going to kind of get this as we go, and I'm going to repeat it probably several times, so we're going to get this, so we can understand the revelation that God has shown me that I have not heard anybody talk about. Holy Spirit has revealed it to me, and so grateful. But we also like proof. Well, we also like to see, you know, what it all means. Because it tells us who we are, and also tells us the season and the time that we're in the end time, that we're in a time where God is going to reveal that Christ was not neither Jew nor Greek, just like Paul the Apostle says, in Christ. Remember that? In Christ, you are not Jew nor Greek. All right, let's look that up in a second. Go ahead, and for people who are not really aware of all that, hang on a second. Get my stuff together here. We'll read that to you. Okay. Okay, here we go. All right. So we are looking at, what are we looking at here? I had to do some things there. All right. So let's back up just a second here and look at this. And so we are, we're looking at the fact that Jesus was, in other words, what the revelation that I got was about that Jesus didn't have Jew blood or Gentile blood. He had the God blood. It was human blood, but it was made, the human blood was like no other human blood. It was made from the sperma or the seed of God. Of the Word of God, it became. That's how his blood was created. It was not connected to any human being, any male. He did not have a male father. He had a godfather. He had a godfather. There you go. He had a godfather. And so, okay. So we're looking at that. We're going to be neither Jew nor Greek. Here it is right here. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Hard to hear, your volume is low. Okay, thank you. Okay, is that volume any better? The volume any better there? No. Somebody said my volume. It's not better. Are you sure you have your phone turned down? Check your phone. Make sure that you don't have your phone turned down, because you don't have your phone turned down, or you do have your phone turned down. All right. Up all the way. Okay, thank you. All right, so let's shift gears here, I guess. Okay, Nicole says the volume sounds normal on her end, so it must be something on your end there. I don't want to change my system if I don't have to, because what I have is very good. So if anybody else having volume problems, I got one person saying they got a volume problem and nobody else yet. So if you have a volume problem, please let me know, and I will fix it for you if we need to. Chris, sounds good. Okay, so we're good on volume. So, Angie, I think you got a volume problem. Sandra, sounds good. Okay, so I'm good on the three people. Three out of one, I think it's you, Ange. Sorry, Martine, sounds good. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. My speaker's off. Okay. All right. So, thank you. All right. That's okay. I forgive you. All right. So we're trying to go somewhere here. We're going to get there. So we're talking about the genealogy where Christ, even though he had no he had no human male blood to be kin to anybody, right? In other words, who's he going to be kin to if he doesn't have any male blood, any male blood, any blood from a man? You know, how's he going to be related to David, right? This is a big question. So in researching this a little bit today, you know, I found this out that Mary, because Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, you know, just like you're conceived in the womb of your mother by your own father. Well, on your mother's side, you have kinfolk, right? They're your kinfolk. You're kin to them. You're connected to them. You're kin to them. And so even though the blood was from God, the fact he was born in the womb of Mary made him kin to whoever Mary was kin to, right? Y'all can understand that. I think we kind of got that. So Mary was connected to him. He was connected to David and the tribe of Judah twice, with Mary, his mother, who he was conceived in, and with Joseph, his stepfather, who was not his real father. Right, Joseph was related to David and Judah, the tribe of Judah. Mary, his mother, was from the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Jacob, and of course made him. If you're the tribe of Judah, you're kin to David. Tribe of Judah is what connects you to David. And so the reason Jesus was from the tribe of Judah wasn't because he had the seed of a man who was from Judah in him. His mother was of the tribe of Judah, and legally Joseph adopted him, which made him the son, you know, the son of David, because he was not only his mother's side. Mary was kin to David in the tribe of Judah, but Joseph was also, who legally adopted him, which brings, when it was legally done, so legally that means that it was legal. And if it's legal, then it's in the Bible. In other words, if it wasn't true on Mary's side about David, Judah, the tribe of Judah, it would be true on his stepfather's side, who legally adopted him. But they double whammy, they doubled it, where it's Joseph and Mary. So he's kin. So the scripture, therefore, is fulfilled in that he did not have human blood. He did not have human blood. He did not have the blood of a sinful man, of a man that was born in sin, of Adam's race. We're going to get this right. All right. So, and here's what happens is that according to Israel's law, and I want you to listen to me really close if you can, please. According to Israel's law, when a daughter who is married is the only heir, because they can't find any brothers that Mary didn't have any brothers as far as they could see. So because she didn't have any brothers, when she married Joseph, the law of Israel said that she can inherit her father's possessions and rights if she marries within her own tribe. That's Numbers 27, 1 through 8, and Numbers 36, 6 through 8. So Mary, Jesus' mother, married the stepfather of Joseph, who was of the same tribe as Mary was, which is the tribe of Judah, which came from David. So therefore, if you read Numbers 20, chapter 27, verse 1 through 8, and chapter 36, 6 through 8, you see that according to Israel's law, when a daughter is the only heir, she can inherit her father's possessions and rights if she marries within her own tribe. So now we understand why Mary, one of the reasons of the love, why Mary married Joseph. You know, God divinely orchestrated it, where she was marrying within her own tribe. Therefore, that's how all of Jesus' inheritance, all of Jesus' natural connections to David, being the son of David, and the tribe of Judah, was covered, right? Because it was in the law. And they found that Mary, they couldn't find any, Mary did not have any brothers, so she had to marry within her own tribe to be connected to her father's possessions and rights, which was the tribe of Judah and of the royal seed of David. right? And there's no record that Mary had any brothers to inherit her father's possessions and rights. So in other words, Mary was the full inheritor, which made Jesus the full inheritor of the tribe of David, the tribe of Judah, and of the royal seed of David. Okay, so and there's a lot more to that than that. I'm just kind of sharing a little bit with you. Okay, so it's pretty interesting how that God is starting to, for him to start telling me this as a prophet, it's a whole different line of thinking. It's a whole different realm of why he's doing that, because he knows that, you know, I'm not trying to dig into the word to find out. I know Jesus is the Messiah. I know Jesus, and I'm not trying to dig in and prove it. But the reason God is trying to bring this out and prove it is he's proving the revelation God has given me that we're not half-baked, grafted in wild olive branches, even though the scripture mentions that. But when you understand what it's really saying, it's not what it sounds like. Let me see if I can find that. Okay. Okay. I don't have the scripture right in front of me here. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, let's go here and look this up. All right. So let's back up here just a second and look at this again, because this is important. So what we're looking at is that Jesus did not have the blood of a Jew. He had the blood of God, which means that he wasn't a Jew. What most people, in order to be a Jew these days, if you go to Israel and you're going to have the rights to what Israel has the rights to, you have to be a Jew, just like in America. You have to prove you're an American, however you do that. Well, Israel, the only way that they can prove that you're a Jew is they take a blood test. Everybody familiar with that? Pretty obvious, pretty simple. And so so Jesus, if Jesus took a blood test, he would not be welcomed in Israel from his blood test. Now, if they looked at his birthright, that is made public and made legal, that he was adopted by his Jewish stepfather, Joseph, which made him part of Judah and David. And then he had proof that his mother was Mary, which they, you know, have that documented, that then, you know, then he could get into Israel. Isn't that amazing? Jesus couldn't even get into Israel and by his blood. He's going to have to be by the birthright of his mother and the adoption papers of his stepfather, Joseph. Amazing when you think about that. So he was not a Jew in blood. They would have found that he had he's got the blood of God. He's not a Jew. Oh, wait a minute. His mother's a Jew, and his stepfather who adopted him legally. So we got to let him in. You see what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, so that kind of like makes that work. And but Jesus, the reason Paul the Apostle says we're not Jew nor Greek is because Jesus wasn't even a Jew. As far as he's the Messiah, he had to fulfill the law. So physically, as the Messiah, he fulfilled the law. But his blood was not the blood of a Jew. It was the blood of God. If you want to call God a Jew, then he called God a Jew, I guess, for an Israelite. But God is not an Israelite. God is God, right? And he's the father of all nations. He's the creator of all mankind. So it's a whole different look at that. So when you start looking at this, you start seeing that because Jesus had the blood of God, then when we get born again and we get cleansed of our sins and we get connected, we eat his body and drink his blood, he was saying to them, I have a blood that you don't know about. That's why I'm telling you, you need to drink my blood, because the blood I have is not the blood of it. You're not going to be drinking Jewish blood. You're going to be drinking the blood of God. Yeah. And they all got up and walked away, except for the disciples, right? And they said, well, where else do we have to go? He's the only one who has true life. And all that true life came because of his blood. So when we get born again, we don't become, because last week, I'm correcting myself, because last week I was saying we become a high-level Jew. The Jews, when they get saved, become a higher-level Jew. That's what I said last week. Well, I'm changing all that now. I'm trying to. That we're not a higher-level Jew. When the Gentiles get born again, they're not a higher-level Jew than the Jew. And a Jew that gets born again is not a higher level than the natural Jew, right? So I'm changing that to we're not Jew nor Greek. We're not Jew or Gentile. We are in Christ. We are one in Christ. And his blood, which is not Jewish blood per se, is why that we're not Jew nor Greek when we get born again in our relationship to God. We are now all equal. We are not adopted children from a wild tribe that came out of God knows where, and we just happen to get in and we have legal rights with him. We have, you know, adopted legal rights to inheritance, but we don't have the blood. In other words, we're not really kin to him, only legally, but not blood-wise. But in Jesus, he doesn't say that we get adopted, and that per se, the adoption of God is different than the adoption. So when we come to Jesus, we don't get adopted, so to speak. Even though Scripture talks about adoption, what do we get? We get born again. And born again, Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a loved Jesus, who thought Jesus was a great man, didn't even understand being born again. He said, you got to go back to your mother's womb. Jesus said, "Watch this." He said, "You're a great teacher of the law, and yet you don't understand these things." In other words, it was hidden from the best teacher of all Israel. It was hidden. Being born again, and what Jesus was talking about, though it was in the law, they couldn't see it in the law. They didn't teach it in the law. And therefore, when Jesus said, you mean you're a teacher of the law? You're the teacher of Israel, the greatest teacher of ever, and you didn't know this? Jesus was shocked. I guess shocked is a good word. He was going, Nicodemus, come on, man. I love you, brother. Come out here tonight at night to see me sneaking around at night, and I'm willing to meet you and keep it private and all that. But you're a greatest teacher in Israel, and you don't know that? Because, friend, Here's the amazing thing about all this stuff is that everything about Jesus' blood being the blood not of a Jew but of God, which is a higher level than a Jew, wouldn't you say? Or a higher level than a Gentile, a higher level than an Israelite? It's a higher level. And the Jew is definitely a favored natural, and the natural realm is a favorite of God because God had to use them to bring Christ. But now Christ has come. The promises and all that still belong to Israel, of course, but now when you're born again, you're a whole new creature. You're a whole new creature, which kind of says to me, like, you're kind of some kind of creature that's like a creature, man. You're not even a human being anymore, though we are a human being. It's like you're a creature, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we got the blood of flowing through us and washing us and cleansing us, and we're partaking of that blood, drinking that blood. That blood is our blood, and because it is, we're not relatable to any other race, any other Jew, any other Gentile. We are now not related to them in any kind of way, spiritually speaking. Jesus said, "Yeah, my mothers and brothers will hear the word of God and do it." But his mother and his brothers were standing outside. He wasn't saying that Mary was not his physical mother. He was not saying that, right? He loved his physical mother. He came from her, of course, like Mary, like we honor Mary. We love Mary. We honor Mary. Jesus honored his mother. Of course he did, just like we do. But she was in the natural. She was his birth mother from the natural and didn't even get her blood. He got the blood of God in him, not the blood of his mother, but he was in her womb, so therefore that gave him a legal right in the earth to be prophetically and literally connected to the seed of David, coming from the seed of David and from the tribe of Judah. So when you start seeing all that, friend, you start seeing. So why is God revealing all this? We're just beginning to see it. Because get ready for miracles like you've never seen. Because when you start realizing the blood, even though we know the blood of Jesus is powerful, we know that, but we're going to get into specific details about what that blood means, especially to Gentiles, even more so to Jews, because the Jews are going to get a blood. That's why he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Tell the Jews to eat my flesh and drink my blood. They got offended at that. They walked away. Well, you want us to eat human blood? But he wasn't talking about sinful human blood. He was talking about holy blood. That was not Jewish. It was not Greek. It was not Gentile. It was God's blood. So when we get born again, a Jew becomes a new creature, equal to God. A Gentile gets born again. That Gentile becomes a whole new creature, equal to God, like a son or a daughter, not God, but like the son or daughter of God. Like Jesus, they accused Jesus of saying, oh, you're equal with God, huh? Like, oh, you're his son? Right. So that's what I'm talking about. In the natural realm, we are his sons and daughters. We are equal with him. In other words, a Jew is no longer better than the Gentiles in God's eyes, or, you know, greater than. But now the Jew and the Gentile are exactly the same, because they have been both born again. A Jew is no longer a Jew in the natural. He is now a spiritual being from God, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and so is a Gentile. So what does that make us? That makes us all equal. So when we tell a Jew we're equal with God, and God's eyes are going like, no, you're not. We're going to be like, yeah, we are right there. The Bible says so. Because just like in the days of Pentecost, just like in the days of Acts, the book of Acts, the Jewish people were so steeped in their culture that they had been a chosen generation so long that they didn't understand what they were a chosen generation for. And it was important. It was everything, man. But once Jesus came, he fulfilled what he needed the Jews to do as far as getting Jesus there. And then Jesus was everything about the law, and the prophets was about Jesus. So how can we throw anything out? You can't throw anything out. We keep everything. We keep it all. Everything. We just start understanding it. Like Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you're a teacher of the law. You're the teacher of the law. And you're the greatest teacher of the law. And you don't understand what I'm – you think Jesus was just playing a game with him, said, oh, you don't understand, trying to make him feel like he's better than Nicodemus? No, he was saying it because that was true. He said, you don't understand that being born again is in the law. You just haven't – your eyes have not been open to it, Nicodemus. But it's there. He wouldn't have said, you mean you haven't seen it written in the law? Because it's in the law. In other words, the law is beautiful. It's perfect. But we're just not under it anymore, right? Neither like Jesus. Jesus fulfilled it. And in Christ Jesus, the reason fulfill it means that we got a whole – what Jesus fulfilled about the law was he got a whole new blood. And his blood paid the price for sin. Became, that's why he had to be connected to the law and come under the law, because he was the lamb who was to be slain. But when he was slain, his blood was perfect. It was God's blood. And when God's blood was shed, pure, unsinful blood, and not the blood of an animal, but the blood of pure God, when that blood was shed, that blood was able to pay in full every sin and iniquity and infirmity and disease and sickness and whatever. It paid for it all. It paid for all of it. That's why his blood had to be disconnected from Jewish blood and disconnected from Gentile blood, and from any man's blood. It had to be, it's a man's blood, but because it was made man, a man, because it was put in a man, but it was put in man by God through the seed of God, which did not connect him to Adam's sin, the sin of mankind. He was not connected to or kin to in his blood with any man. He was kin to no man in his blood. And that's why, because he was kin to no man, he wasn't kin to David with his blood. He wasn't kin to Judah in his blood. He wasn't kin to anybody in his blood. Even his mother, He was kin to God, period, one with God. And when he shed that blood, because it didn't have sin, he paid the price for ours. So now, when, if we can get a, as we get a hold of this understanding and who we are, that we're equal with, the Jews are no longer better than us, are greater than us in the eyes of God. Because before they were his chosen. He loved the Gentile. He loves everybody. But the Jews were chosen people. That's a fact. We don't ever get away from that. That's the Bible. We have to get away from the Bible to do that. We're never going to reject that or get away from it. Are you kidding me? That would ruin everything. But you have to understand the fulfillment of it was that God was using the law to bring in a man called Jesus who was born to the law but was not born with the blood of anyone from Adam who was all under the law. Does that make sense? So hopefully we're able to connect in with that. And start, because here's what's going to happen as we see this stuff. We're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles and healings. You know, and I'm so glad our PGN family is getting a hold of us, because we have people that listen to us, you know, secretly and privately, and they copy our videos, our audio, and they, you know, and that way they get a bunch of numbers, and they pass it around to people that they want to know what we're saying prophetically. And so, you know, so to all those people, you know, enjoy. Just don't sell it. If you sell it, you'll be cursed, right? Yeah, like Paul the Apostle said, if you preach any other gospel than that of Christ, you'd be cursed. And also says if you take the word of God and you sell it, from this ministry at least, you will be cursed. It comes with if you disobey God and try to sell the word of God from this revelation, you will find that your finances will fall faster than they already gonna fall if you're a merchandiser. They're really gonna fall. They're going to be torn to shreds. Do not sell this revelation to anybody. It will curse you. The curse of God, I'm talking about. Cursed is every man that hangs on the tree. You know, he who obeys the law, obeys the commands of this word, every blessing shall be upon him. Every one who doesn't obey it, every curse shall be upon him. You will be cursed. That's God talking like that. He told the Jews. It's like he tells us now. He said, I will curse those that curse you, and I will bless those who bless you. That's the curse of God. Don't always start getting all holy in me, telling me God didn't curse nobody. The curse means the withdrawal of protection. The curse means the withdrawal of the blessing. And when you have the withdrawal of the blessing on your life and the withdrawal and of God's protection, and his blessing, yeah, because the blessing is being able to keep the thief from stealing from you. That's what the protection is. That's what the blessing. The blessing is the protection of keeping the enemy from being able to break in and steal from you. If you don't have the blessing, you have what we call the curse. The curse is the withdrawal of God's protection, the withdrawal of God's blessing, even as a Christian, even as a believer. That's who he was talking to. He wasn't talking to the heathen. He didn't care about God. He was talking to the Jewish people. He was talking to the people of God. If you don't obey these, you're still going to be a child of God, but you're not going to have any protection. Diseases will come at you. Poverty. Demons will be able to come in, mess up stuff, because they have an open door. That's what the curse is. It's not God putting something bad on you. It's his removal of his blessing in a world that's full of demonic, all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. That's what that is. The blessing is protection from that and increase and multiplication in your life. And then the protection, the blessing also keeps the devil from being able to steal from you. All right, you understand what I'm saying? Y'all getting this? I know you're getting it. But I like to ask. Okay, let's get ready to pray for people tonight. As you know, I could go on and on and on with this. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. You don't believe that? Just hang around long enough. Yeah, we'll be going on and on and on. We're going to learn some things because God's getting ready to bless his people. We are getting the blessing of God upon us that he reserved for the Jews. And thank God, that's the way it had to be. That's why Jesus said, I can't, you know, give you I can't, because the woman who said, can you deliver my child from this devil? She said, I can't give the children's bread to the dogs. You know, in other words, this God belongs to the Jews. Even Jesus had to obey that, or was commanded to. Of course, he couldn't help himself. She says, well, even the dogs can eat from the crumbs from the master's table. And he goes, man, why did you say that? My God. I can't help but heal you. I can't help but deliver you. Yeah. So anyway, but he had to fulfill first to the Jews. That's what he was doing. Even though he touched some Gentiles along the way, just showing you that Jesus couldn't hardly handle it. He's like thinking, okay, I love my Jewish people. I love the Jewish people because I'm called to them, not my Jewish people, but the Jewish people. The culture, the law, the prophets, all that is, you know, considered, you know, Israelites or Jews. So, yeah, he was part of that because his mother. He was part of that because he was legally from the tribe of Judah and the tribe of and the blessing of David. Yeah, from his mother. And so he was born under that for a reason, connected to all that, bound to it, if you will, as a Jew without Jewish blood. That's what's so amazing about the whole thing. So amazing. So amazing. So, friend, as we get a hold of this stuff, guess what? God is going to, we're going to find blessings, because all the blessings that belong to the Jews in the covenant are now going to be to those who are born again, because we're even better than what the Jews had. The Jews had a tremendous blessing spoken over them by God. And thank God that God did bless them, because now he can transfer that over to us, and even greater, because now we have the blood of God. We don't even have tainted Jewish blood or tainted Gentile blood. We got the untainted, unadulterated blood of Jesus flowing through us, which opens us up to the covenants of God without reservation, without limitations. You understand? So that's why this revelation, y'all, is going to be so vital and important that you chew it, that you eat it, that you drink it. Like Jesus said, eat my blood, eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, he was talking about, you know, meditate this. Let this become part of you, because when it does, you're going to connect to the eternal, unlimited realm of God's blessing. And the devil can't touch you, because when you're blessed, that means the devil can't touch you. If you're cursed by God, you know, that means that God's blessings is removed, and you're in a world, you know, without God. Even though you're a Christian, you're going to be out in the world, subject to demonic influence, subject to the devil taking you out, messing with your children, messing with your family, messing with your money, messing with everything. That's what the curse is about, friend. I know we talked about that. I've said that already, but I want to reiterate. You got to get a hold of that. The curse isn't God saying, "Okay, I curse you." The curse is the removal of God's protection for you. So you're an Israelite. You're a spiritual. You're a Christian. But you're under the curse of God, because the curses and the blessings came to God's people, not to the heathen. The heathen didn't get the curses and God's people got the blessing. No, the cursing and the blessing came to God's people. It's important to understand that as Christians, that's symbolic of Christianity, the same thing. You don't obey what God says, do what God says, you're going to go run around without protection. The devil's going to rob, steal, kill, and destroy you. You go to heaven when you die, but you're going to go to heaven with hell hanging on your back, if you will. It's not cool, man. And that's why we're teaching this stuff. That's why we're talking about. That's why the revelation about the blood is so important. You got to get a hold of this. This is going to change your life. Revelation is the knowledge of God is what it taps us into the treasures of his inheritance. All right. I know I can. Believe me, like I said, I could go on and on and on. I just make myself stop, because I love this stuff so much. It's so beautiful. And believe me, I'm not against Mother Mary. She was born from a male and a female, and which made her a sinner. You know, she was a good person, but she was still born a sinner, like I was born a sinner. Those little innocent babies, they're sinners. Even though they've never sinned, they're born into sin because of their blood. And Mary was that. If you believe anything other than that, you're not believing the Word of God. I don't care what some Catholic priest says or what anybody says. It doesn't matter what they say or what I say. It's what the Word of God says. And you got to get a hold of that. I'm going to be very blunt about that and very, you know, kind as I can. But I have to tell the truth. I'm not going to get the curse of God. If you preach any of the gospel than what I preach, Paul says, you'd be a curse. I don't want that curse. In other words, the removal of God's blessing. The gospel of Christ brings the blessing of God, the protection, the blessing, the God, you know, you don't lose what God brings you. You're able to keep it because of the blessing. All righty then. Okay, let's take callers now. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for being patient. And pray for me that I will be patient with myself and with people who disagree with me on some of the stuff, because some of this stuff is brand new to me, man. I mean, some of this stuff is brand spanking new to me. I do not have a clue about most of the stuff. Not a clue. About the blood of Jesus being like it is. I mean, I kind of knew, you know, sort of, but next. Connecting all of it to being equal to people that, you know, under the old law, under the law, the covenants of that, to be a Gentile and to be grafted in, it's like being a wild altar. But we're not under the law anymore. We're not adopted. And God made it to where they could adopt you into their culture, Jewish culture. A wild honor, it meant a Gentile. But we're not, that's not us anymore. That's not it anymore. We're not a wild honor shoot. We're wild and crazy, but now we're born again, so that means it's not wild and crazy anymore. And we're not grafted in the sense, we are born again. We are a new creature. We are a new branch. We're not an old branch being grafted in. The old law made way for the Jew and the Gentile, for the Jew to adopt the Gentile, if you will, and being a wild olive shoot grafted in that sense. And of course, we're going to talk about all of it. We're just getting started with this. So don't start, you know, going crazy. I mean, don't start fighting what we're saying without the knowledge of the Word of God. Get the Word of God if you're going to fight. Fight with the Word and fight right, and it'll save you a lot of trouble. All right. Okay, so we thank you so much for being here, being a part of it. Thanks for PGN. We thank God for that. We thank God for all of our hosts, Terrence and Sneaks, were on tonight, Wednesday night, doing their thing. And this weekend, Thursday, we'll be having, you know, our praying over offerings and all that on Thursdays. And then Friday, most of the time we have, LaShawn over there. I don't know if LaShawn's with us right now or not. I can't tell. She's been on vacation so pray for her. A lot going on with people. Pray for our hosts. They have things going on just like everybody else. And we may be bringing in some new people. So to add to what we have already, we hope we can add to it. And we'll see what happens. But it's going to be awesome. We have Nicole from D.C. comes on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock and Sundays at noon. And then we have Carmen on Saturday nights. And then we have Felicia comes on sometimes on Friday or Sunday. And then we have Terrence and Felicia, who sometimes do Sundays, and Angela Joy, who does Sundays. So, and Mondays we have our friend from Texas, right in Big T, Jeannie, and then Tuesdays, Deborah. So make sure and pray for them. You know, they're trying to, they're obeying God. They're giving of their lives. They're not being paid for this. They are giving freely unto Jesus. And we're going to believe God really bless them for that. All right? Yeah, it's all done volunteer. So remember that. All right, really awesome. Pray for them. All right, let's take our callers tonight. My first caller tonight, 202. Second, 610. Third, 863-268. After that, 912-398. After that, 912-318. After that, 972-695. After that, 214-701. After that, 478. After that, 769. After that, 643. After that, 754. After that, 325. After that, 940. After that, 781. After that, 919. After that, 804. After that, 111. After that, 612. After that, 803. After that, 402. after that 850. All right, that's where you guys are in line, and then, of course, other people will be calling in as we go here, so thank you. All right, I'm going to take our first call tonight. All you got to do is just tell me what your first name and what state you're from when I call your number. If you could do that, please, even if I've known you for a long time. Those that are new kind of understand what's happening. Thank you for that. All right. Okay, let's go ahead for a second. All right. All right, 202-722, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
All right, thank you, guys. All right, Daryl. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Daryl Paul and Nicole. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the love of God, for what love is and what love does, and that you're teaching them, you know, how to walk in love, how to live in love. So when you walk in love and live in love, you know, it makes life easier, it makes life better, it makes life more fulfilled. You know, forgiveness is easy. You know, grace and mercy comes with love, and love is, Lord, I thank you for the greatest of these is love, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Lord, I thank you for the love realm, God, of the love of God pouring in and through them, Jesus. Ministering to them, the love of God, the love for each other, the love of God, the love of human, the human love, the love of being connected by God. If when you're connected by God, there's a love that flows. If you're not connected by God, that love doesn't flow. Amen. Because when God calls people to be together, not only your human love, but the love of God flows through their human love. And nurtures it and causes them to be nurtured. And when you abide in that love, not only is your human love for each other, but the love of God that pours through you, it also nurtures the person that you love, right? The love of God nurtures them. Lord, I thank you for my brother, God, for Daryl, Paul, to learn that, you know, when men lay down their life for their woman, God, we find that that the love of God, not just our love, but the love of God pours through us. Because the love of God nurtures people like nothing else. Gives them nourishment that our love can't give them. Our love can be awesome. But the love of God is raw, pure, and has no motive and intention other than, you know, what's best for them. And even though our own human love may be a little bit respecter of person sometimes, all of our human love is, but I thank you, Lord, that the love of God is not a respecter of person, that it doesn't judge unrighteously, but it judges righteously. We can judge righteously, and we thank you, Lord, that the judgment realm that they enter into with each other is a judgment of righteous judgment. Hallelujah! A beautiful righteous judgment where we judge each other righteously. We realize and understand each other and see each other in the eyes of God with the love of God. When you do that, then you're able to judge one another with righteous judgment. Right? In other words, it's right. It's not wrong. It's right. We don't misjudge. We properly judge. And the Bible even says that, do you not know that you're going to judge angels? Talking about the body of Christ. We're going to judge angels, man. I wonder which angels I'm going to get to judge. I don't know. It's going to be cool. It's going to be fun. And thank you, Lord, for the nurturing thing with them, God. Teach them how to drink from the breast of God, from the love of God, from the milk of God's love. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. When you drink the milk, then pretty soon you eat of the meat of his love. Hallelujah. I never thought about that before. That's kind of brand new for me. Interesting. First, we drink of his milk, of his love, for, you know, not only from him, but for each other, through each other. And then as we mature in our love toward one another, as you do perfect that love just become matured and perfected, that we eat the meat. The more mature love, the more powerful love. I don't know what that is. But that's really cool. I really like that. It's really, really awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless them, God. Keep them. Watch over them, Jesus. Cause them to be united in spirit, soul, and body, Father, and love, the love of God. Amen. Amen. And let them nurture one another, not just their own human love, but with the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. The love of the Holy Ghost. The love of the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. Chokori prakorne kreplero polgara ornekita nos te pinga preto paki beto panda. Amen. Wow, awesome. All right. All right, 610-427, who am I talking to you from, please? All right, air code 610-427. I can't hear you if you're talking to me. All right, I'm going to put a question mark by you. We'll come back and get you later. I think I know this is something that's a prayer request. Anyway. All right.
Prophet Randy.
Okay, there you go. Okay, yes.
Hi, Shalom. Yeah. Shalom, I was texting you, I don't know. I'm asking for a prayer request for on behalf of Andre for his son Alexander, where he's like missing and Andre came in touch with the family and did a wellness check and all that. So I'm just asking for that, please, for everyone listening. He heard that his son went away, which and he doesn't know what's going on since that. So the boy is named Alexander, and he's only 12 years old.
Okay, got it.
Thank you, Prophet Randy. Yep. Thank you, Prophet Randy.
Okay, thank you. All right, you're welcome. All right, thank you. I'm glad I hung a little bit out. I started to... So I thought you might have a prayer request, so I waited. All right, thank you, Jesus. All right, Andre's son, Alexander, missing, and they don't know what's going on. We thank you, Lord, that this is going to make it a simple procedure, make it something that, just life, stuff with kids. That you work it out, God, and that it be a blessing. That'd be nothing bad, nothing bad, nothing evil, nothing disastrous, but just, something that just needs to be, gently repaired, gently fixed. Somehow in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that. And comfort Andre, God, and Lord, show him about the feelings that he has and the emotions that he has, and how beautiful they are, and how feelings and emotions are beautiful, and that yet we bring those feelings and emotions to God because, God is the author and finisher of our feelings and our emotional realm and our ability to care and love. And God's showing Andre how to care at this, from a distance. That's the only thing he can really do for the most part, how to care from that he can send the word like Jesus sent the word. He sent his care to other people. And they received it, like the people who he sent the word to, and that from a distance, and they received the miracles. Like Jesus was there, except he wasn't, and they still got it. Teach them how to walk in it, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Teach them how to send the word, God, and actually let it affect the people, because that can happen. It's in the Bible a couple of times where Jesus sent the word. And you can look that up. Google it. Jesus sent the word. And you'll see that he was able to send it and it be effective rather than having to go travel and all that. Yeah. So thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. And amen. All right. But you can send your love, bro. You can send that love and people feel it. Well, Jesus sent his love and his healing power and people felt it and got healed. Literally. Okay, all right, and then we have Lisa from Pennsylvania. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that the people don't understand you. They tend to resent you. They tend to resent. They tend to not understand you. They understand what you do, what you believe. God, I thank you for giving her patience with that. Because sometimes if we are patient with people, instead of getting impatient, like I've done a time or two, get impatient with somebody. Thinking they're just doing it on purpose, or it seems like sometimes they're just being ugly on purpose. Sometimes people are ugly because they don't understand and they're blinded. And give Lisa patience, Father, where she can see the results of that, where she can see a change in those people, a change because her patience. That like the Bible says, let patience have its perfect work. And I thank you, Lord, that the patience that you give her, God, for people who don't understand who she is and what she does and all that. I thank you, Lord, that you're giving her the ability to be patient so that she can bear the fruit. You know, that's why the Bible says be patient, because what happens is we bear the fruit of that patience by not making the situation worse, you know, by becoming impatient. So thank you, Lord, for giving her peace and that patience to endure until the end, God, so that people look back and go, man, she was sure patient. Man, I didn't understand her mind, but look what she did. She was patient with me. She was loving to me. She gave me time. She gave me grace. Yeah, and now I value her that much more. And may I be more like her. Amen. Patient. And, yeah, okay. Amen. Fill it with the Holy Ghost, God. Freshen it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 863-268, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki from Florida.
All right. From Florida, yeah. All right. So you got that in there. She snuck that in at the end there. Thank you for the Florida thing. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Nikki and Charles. God, we thank you, Lord, for their feet, God, that their feet, their precious feet. Father, the feet of love, the feet of service, the feet of being a servant. God, that they have the feet that Jesus has washed their feet. And they understand, like Jesus told Peter, he said, he told the disciples, I know you guys don't understand what I'm doing now, because you think washing feet is like something a lower life person does. But you'll understand in the future. He said, that he who washes, who serves, gets the greatest. And I thank you, Lord, for the servants that you've made, Nikki and Charles, God. You've made them servants. They want to just, all they want to do is serve you. And God, I thank you for that heart you've given them, God, to serve you and to love you and to make them great, God. You said that when you become really good servants, when we learn really how to serve and serve well, that God blesses us, that God, we become great. Being great's not bad. Being great is good, because you what? You become great at whatever you do. You become great servants. You become great teachers, great prayer warriors, you know, great preachers, great, I think I said that, prophesiers, great, you know, evangelists, whatever the thing is, because you learn how to serve. And I thank you, Lord, that they have feet, God, that have been cleansed by Jesus, washed by Jesus, that he's washed their feet. He says, someday you'll understand, it's like you told Peter. And I thank you, Lord, that they understand, that they know that serving you is everything. Serving you is where the power is at. Serving you is where being great is, being great at it. In other words, not being a sloppy, joppy Christian, but being a great Christian. What's a great Christian? One who's humble and meek and lowly and powerful and love, patient and kind and generous and prosperous and serving and just, you know, whatever it takes to serve. And I thank you, Lord, for extending their time, God, giving them more and more time. I see you redeeming the time, Nikki, redeeming the time. There's a scripture that talks about that, and I don't know where it's at exactly. Matt, Google it, but it's about redeeming the time. So your service to God is buying you time, whatever that means. Yeah, your service to God is buying you time. Amen. When the devil tries to take us out, or where, you know, life and just stuff goes on, what redeems us? Our servanthood to God. Hallelujah. Wow, they're going to live a long time in Jesus' name because of their service to you, Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Like the alabaster box, God. Like the alabaster box in the name of Jesus. Broken seal. Released of that aroma of the beautiful love that Nikki has for you, Jesus, and serving you, washing your feet, anointing your feet with oil, God, in Jesus' name, by doing it to your people. Hallelujah. Amen. What great rewards for that. All right, 912-398. Can I talk to you from, please? Hello, air code 912-398. Who am I talking to? Request? All right, 912-318. Are you there? We believe that's Sandra. Okay, a second. That's Paulette. All right. I looked up the number, Paulette. All right, Paulette. Gotcha, Paulette. Thank you, Paulette, for being with us. Thank you, Jesus, for comforting her, Father. Comforting her and letting her know that you're working, that you're doing things that she doesn't even know, can't even see. Sometimes God doesn't show us what he's doing because, you know, if you really are a helper, you might want to help him. Sometimes he doesn't want to help. You know, sometimes we can't. Sometimes God blinds us from the things he's doing to help our children, our families, our loved ones, or, you know, people that we work with, whatever. Sometimes God is taking people through some hard times, as you know, Paulette, about this. God takes us through hard times to reveal his son. The Bible says through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom. Sometimes through trouble. Some people are going through some trouble, but as you pray for them, that in that trouble, not to take them out of the trouble, but to deliver them through that trouble, to bring them through the trouble, to bring them to Christ, that they will see Christ in the midst of it. In Jesus' name, Lord, that Paulette will know how to, because praying correctly, as you know, Paulette is very powerful. And when we pray correctly, when we see somebody go through a hard time, sometimes we feel sorry. We feel compassion for them. We feel sorry for them. We don't want them to, oh, God, I don't want my baby to suffer. Sometimes the suffering, as hard as it is to watch, is good. Could you imagine, Paulette, watching like Mary did, watching his precious mother, Mary, Virgin Mary, watching her son suffer and being whipped and beaten and wanting to go out there and stop it? Could you imagine if she would have went out there as a mother and stopped that from happening? What that would have done, that would have stopped the salvation of God. Sometimes what happens with people that are suffering around us, as hard as it is, as much as it breaks your heart, that God is doing a glorious work, though, in the midst of all it. So our prayers start becoming, God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless. But God, it's painful, it's difficult. I'm with them in their suffering. Like Mary was probably, I'm sure, feeling the suffering with Jesus, but yet she couldn't stop it. And she might have even thought about trying to stop it, but she knew she couldn't. And so thank you, Lord, for that and for bringing her into that blessing, Father, in Jesus' name, into that blessing, Father. Hallelujah. Open her up to that divine appointment, realizing that divine revelation of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, knowing about the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings of Christ happen to different people in different ways, but they always bring people to the knowledge of God. You know, like godly sorrow worketh repentance. And I thank you, Lord, for the people that she's praying for, believing God for, the situations that's going to bring people to a true love of Jesus, a true connection, true evangelism, true work of God. If I had to suffer some things I suffered, I wouldn't know Jesus the way I know him. I mean, when I got saved, it's because of the sufferings I was going through. Man, my life is falling apart. It was horrible. People that saw it were like going, man, he must really be messed up. And boy, I mean, instead of running from God, I ran to God. And I was a heathen. I was a dope smoking, drug, person. I was alcohol drinking all the time, smoking 2-pack cigarettes a day. And my misery brought me to Jesus. And brother, woo, that's in a trip, man. All right, 912-318. All right, let's go here, 912-318. Can I talk to Ruth Friend, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Sandra and Robert from Georgia.
Hey, Sandra and Robert. All right, good to have you guys. All right, Sandra and Robert. Lord, we thank you for Sandra and Robert. Father, we thank you, Father, for the combining of their faith, Father. Some areas of faith, you're stronger than Robert is. Some areas of faith, Robert may have more faith and be stronger in you are than you are. As a man, men see things different than women do. And women see things different than men do. And so, like the last couple that I married, I did this marriage ceremony as a preacher. It was my niece, and in the ceremony, I said, to each other, I said, where he's weak, you're going to be strong, girl. You're going to be strong where he's weak. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? Where you're weak, she's going to be strong. And the other way around, where you're strong, she's going to be weak. And therefore you're being brought together, that when you learn to tap into each other's strength and realize that you can't always be strong about everything and know everything. Sometimes we're weak. Sometimes we become weak, but our husband, our wife, they become strong for us. And I thank you, Lord, for combining them together in such power, God, that they walk in the power of knowing each other's strength and each other's weaknesses, and they depend on each other in Jesus, God. And the beauty of that, Father, so you can prosper them, so you can walk them through things. The two walk together in Jesus' name. And the Bible says that where two agree as touching something, you know, we don't have to be on the same spiritual levels. I don't know anybody who's on the exact same spiritual level. You know, some people have faith for some things more than their wife does. Some people have faith, women have more faith for things than their husband does. It just depends on what area it is. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. And I thank you, Lord, for that. You're combining them together, showing them how to look at each other's weaknesses and strengths and know that, hey, I'm going to cover your back. I'm your armor bearer. You know, if you're weak, I'm going to be strong. And if I'm weak, you're going to be strong for me. Thank you, God, for that combination, Father, that they walk in that, live in that. You empower them to understand that, God, so they can prosper them. So the enemy can't just come in and rob anytime he wants to, because they've got, even though they walk in two different paths, they walk together in those two different paths. Amen? We all walk in different paths in our life. We all have different faith levels, different things we do better than others. But when God combines us together, hallelujah, we walk in unity. In Jesus' name, thank you for the unification of your spirit in Sandra and Robert, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every time we get one for the thousand, two for the 10,000. That's what that, to me, that's one of the things that principle is about. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Make them a supernatural couple, God. Amen. In the name of Jesus, bless and increase and multiply them, Father. Let their faith be in you, Jesus. And where one has faith stronger than the other one, that they don't lack, because the other one has that faith that they don't. You may have faith in 100 things, or 99 things, and you need 100. And your husband can have the faith in that one area. That could change everything. That could bring agreement, or the other way around, or 50-50, or 60-40, or whatever the thing would be. And so God covers it. He brings us together, knowing our strengths and weaknesses, and that how that even my faith in God helps you know to know that if I'm weak, it's okay. God's got you covered in that area. He's got to get, yeah, in the name of Jesus. Therefore, we're protected and kept by our covenant with God between each other in our marriage. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right. All right, Robert and Sandra, thank you so much. All right, 972-695, we want to talk to you from, please.
Hey, Randy.
All right, Terrence and Stacia. A little break up there, but I think I already knew it was anyway. But yeah. All right, thank you, Lord, for my brother and sister, God. I thank you for Terrence, God. I thank you, Father, for the feet you've given him to walk the walk of faith, Father, real faith, not phony faith, not just acting like it all the time, but living in it. Sometimes we have to act like it and put actions into faith and then believe God for the result. But if we don't ever enter into the result and it becomes more than just an act, you know, an action, we're trying to put it in. But thank you, Lord, that because Jesus had the blood of God in him, he had the Holy Spirit in him, he was born of the Father, created by the Father. He knew the Father because of that. He didn't have to act like he did. But when we do, we have to put things into action and speak those things that are not as though they were. That's important. Speaking those things that are not as though they were. And we thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of speaking those things that are not as though they were, God. It's you, that creative realm, God, in Jesus' name, through Terrence and Tanisha. And I thank you for that creative realm, the ability to, that when a man and a woman come together, you know, I know you guys, I don't think you guys want to have any more children, but as far as I know, but when a man and woman come together, it takes a man and a woman. A man has a seed, woman has the egg and the womb, and, you know, without one, you can't have the other. So it's like when they come together, we think is you that what you create. There's a creation. There's a creating that goes on. And Terrence has the seed, and Tanisha has the egg in the womb, and those two things come together. And I'm not decreeing over you having a child. I don't know if you want or not. But anyway, but you see what I'm saying? There's a creation that goes on. So they do it together. The creating is when you come together. The creation of something new is birth through coming together, one way or the other. One way or the other. Hallelujah. One way or the other. It takes two. Two babies. I don't know. That's an old Simone song. It takes. That's not how it goes. It takes two. I don't remember what that song is. But anyway, it takes two. That's what I'm telling you. It takes two. And thank you, Lord, for that. Because when I was praying over Terrence, I was thinking about that creative thing. But I realized that the seed in him plants the seed in you, the seed he has in you. Of course, you have the seed too, but it's spiritually speaking, but in the natural realm, thank you, Lord, that that seed, it creates, because it enters into the woman, the womb and the egg, and it creates something, God, that is literally birth, and it has life to it, that has eternal connections, that has, you know, a place in the earth, that has inheritance in the earth, because of what is created between the two, God. There's something that connects it and blesses it. It makes it a life-giving and life-filling, Father, in Jesus' name. It has a purpose in the earth because of what has been created between the two. Woo! Man, that's hot. I love this stuff. All right. 214-701. Who am I talking to, Reverend, please? I love the
Hi.
Prophetic realm, y'all. I just do that.
Hi, this is Latoria from Texas.
Oh, hi, Latoria. Hi, Latoria. Good to have you tonight. All right, I'm going to pray for Latoria from Texas. That's Barbara's daughter. Thank you, Jesus, for Latoria. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that financial wealth, that financial blessing, God, in her life. God, that you're bringing all things together. Father, that is, you know, her future, her mate, her, you know, just when he's talking about Mike, you know, he's talking about, like we have an Irish guy that calls me once in a while from Ireland. Hey, mate. No, that's not mate, is it? That's, Anyway, I think I just messed that up. Hey, mate. That's from our guy from Australia. Yeah. Gary. Anyway, I don't know if I'm getting off on that, but hey, mate, you know, like mate is not just like a married thing. A mate is somebody that God brings to you that you connect to. And I thank you, Jesus, for all the people that you're connecting in her life, God, that make the ingredient of blessing. And as you choose well, Father, like the ingredient that is in the oil of anointing for the tabernacle in the Old Testament, there were five different ingredients. Those ingredients come together in one bottle. They're put together in one bottle. You can't have them separately because it's combining them together, the Torah, that makes them anointed, that makes it holy oil. Each element by itself is not holy. It has to be brought together and combined together. And I thank you, Lord, for combining the people together, because people can have an ingredient that they'll have an ingredient you don't have. You'll have an ingredient that they don't have. And everybody needs each other's ingredients to make something function right and proper. And I thank you, God, for bringing that together in Jesus' name and blessing Latoria, Father, with those ingredients. The Bible says when that ingredient came together, that it brought blessing. Amen. So I thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the different people in her life that bring different ingredients to her life. In Jesus' name, that she, we can have a lot of different people in our life, but God brings certain people that have certain ingredients, have certain input to our life that causes it to be, create a holy environment, a holy thing that's called and chosen of God and blessed, that the devil can't rob, the devil can't steal it. Amen, because it's holy and set apart by God. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Open up those divine appointments, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless her money room, God, in Jesus' name. Bless her love life, Father, to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. 478-233. Can I talk to you from, please?
This is Janice from Georgia.
Oh, hi, Janice. All right, Janice, good to have you, Janice. All right, thank you, Lord, for the faith of Janice, for Janice's faith. Father, her faith in you is real. Her faith in you has been birthed of you. The faith that she has been birthed in her, through her, for her. for her behalf, that, that her faith is what helps to bring things forth. With faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. And I thank you, Lord, that her hope is the final result. You know, the faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I thank you, Lord, for the substance of her faith, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That nothing can stop the blessing of God. Nothing can stop it. Amen. When you got faith in God and you believe in God, it doesn't matter whether anybody agrees with you or not. So much. If you agree and you believe God, you know what? It's going to come to pass because of your faith in God. Even if other people's faith is weak, Janice, because your faith, that's why Jesus, you know, as Peter walked on the water, as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, kept his faith and trust in Jesus, you know, by looking into his eyes, by keeping his eyes on him, he didn't fail. Amen. He was walking all by himself. He didn't have nobody else but him and Jesus. All the other disciples back in the boat, they were freaking out, man, because of the storm. And not Peter. Why was he walking on the water? Because of his faith. He said, Jesus, can I bid me to come out of you if it's okay? And Jesus goes, yeah, okay, come on. So he went. And Peter walked all alone, if you will, with his faith in Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for my sister, God, that she will realize that. She don't need nobody else. I mean, God wants to bring us people, and he does bring us people. But to get it accomplished, we don't have to wait on somebody else to come into agreement with us on it necessarily about something. We can just keep our eyes on Jesus, and she can walk on the water. In Jesus' name, those things can come to pass because of her faith and her eyes on Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, 754-240, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Sound like you got more than Donald and Tanya. Sound like you got some other help over there.
This is a loaded house.
Yeah. He said, hey, Donald comes on, and of course I can hear all the stuff in the background. It's like, Donald and Tanya from Florida. I'm going, nah, there's more than Donald and Tanya in that place. Got a house load. Amen, 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 in Jesus' name. And that's kind of a prophetic word right there, a houseload. You know, God's giving you a houseload, and he's going to load your house. Woo, hallelujah, my God, it felt that one. You got a loaded house, and God's going to load up that house in Jesus' name. He's going to give you a house that you can load, a loaded house. Yeah, that you're prophesying to yourself on that one, my brother. I mean, it's amazing how God does it. I was like, hear myself say stuff, and I go, that's prophetic. I didn't know it. Yeah, when you said that, that Lord said, that's prophetic, and he doesn't know it. Maybe he doesn't know it. I don't know. Anyway, a loaded house, God. You're going to load up his house. He has a loaded house, so load up his house, God, with what he needs. Load him up, Jesus. Like, get on that horse and ride. Load it up. Hallelujah. Get on that horse and ride, baby. Get on that horse and ride. Amen. Ride that horse. And then when that horse falls down on the ground, can't go any further, you get another horse. And you ride that horse until that horse comes, falls down on the ground, and you get on another horse. It's not going to run out of horses. Amen. It's going to house load. You're going to load your house. A loaded house. Yeah, with a loaded house, he's going to load it up. Load it up, Jesus. Bless it with blessings, Father. Bless it with love. Bless it with ministry. Bless it with purpose. God, bless it with glory. Bless it with provision. God, bless it with peace. Bless it with be careful for nothing, but in all things in prayer and thanksgiving. And I thank you, Jesus, for the prayer and thanksgiving realm that they're in into a whole nother realm of frankincense and myrrh and that whole place of incense before God. Thanksgiving and prayer. It's like, you know, the altar of incense, the smoke goes up. It's like God hears their prayers. It's like God has heard your cry. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, bless them with the abundance, God. Bless them with the abundance, Father. Hallelujah. The Lord, fill their house. A house, a loaded house, yes, in Jesus' name. And give them that house that you want them to have, that they can load up with blessings, God. They can overflow it, be a big old house. They can overflow and overload with the blessings of God, in Jesus' name. God, I bless those baby dolls, those boys, in Jesus' name. Bless them, God. Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord. Bless them, keep them, watch over them, God. Let them grow up in an environment of provision of the Father. Hallelujah, the knowledge of God, the love of God, the love of family, the covenant of family, the commitment to the family, the commitment to God, in Jesus' name. And for Tanya, God, where Tanya is the mother, God, of those children, God, that just like Mary with that alabaster box that broke that seal and just, you know, gave Jesus all the glory, felt what Jesus felt, loved Jesus and felt what he felt, prayed prayer because she felt what was going on with him. Not everybody felt what was going on in the room with Jesus. He was being betrayed by Judas at that time, pretty close to that. And the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin were all getting together to plotting out how they're going to kill him. And Mary was the only one that felt that. She came in weeping, not even knowing what she was weeping about. She was connected to this. What Jesus was going through is her love for him, Father. And I thank you, Lord, and that the richness of that alabaster box, God, that they said they could have sold it and paid taking care of the poor, God. We thank you, Lord, that Tanya's willing to sacrifice and give, God, unto you and bless your name, Jesus. Amen. And increase and multiply, God. Hallelujah. The richness of that worship and praise and prayer, God. Things coming to pass. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 325-280, who I talk to in front, please.
Chris, I'm Texas.
All right, Chris. Hey, thanks for coming on the show last night, man. That was awesome. I tell you, God just, you know, I feel like God's going to give you knowledge of things. I know he already has, but he's going to give you knowledge of things to come. Knowledge of things to come. Not just like what's going to happen with the government only and what's going to happen with, you know, the church and the Antichrist, but, you know, what, all kinds of things. He's gonna show you, warn you, give you a passion for knowing things. You have a curiosity, and some God's really stirring up your curiosity to know what God is saying, not just what people are putting together. And people can predict things from just looking at how life is going and mix it up with a little bit of the Bible and mix it with this, mix it with that, come up with all kinds of. And be, you know, a third right, maybe nothing right, maybe a half right. But, you know, when you have your ear to the ground of God and you can hear the coming, the things that are coming, the coming of Christ, the coming of what's coming, that God wants to show and reveal the things that are coming so that we can be prepared and ready, so that we can avoid things. We can avoid some people that don't hear from God. They're going to be standing over there in the wrong place. They're going to be listening to all the fear mongers. They're going to be standing in all the fear places. When they stand in the fear places, the enemy's going to hit them all. But those who walk by faith, they're going to stand in the faith place. And when you walk by faith, you know, you stand in the faith, the place of faith. And the enemy can't touch those who walk in faith and walk by faith in Jesus' name. Because we hear and we know. We don't listen to fear. We listen to faith. We listen to faith comes by hearing God. And I thank you, Lord, for Chris's ear being to the ground of the heartbeat of God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And can hear those things coming, you know, that are coming. And not be afraid, not have fear about them. Because when you know what's coming, what do? If it's like Elijah, Chris. Elijah told Israel, he said, don't go down that road because the enemy's waiting for you down at the end of that road because they know you're always going down that road. Don't go down that road today. They're going to kill you. And he goes, oh, okay. So he goes around the back, and sure enough, kind of find out that's exactly what was going on. So we hear what's going on, not to go, oh my God, they're going to take us all out. No, so we can avoid being taken out. So we can avoid trouble. So we can avoid things. Not that we're not going to have troubles in our life. We do, but we avoid troubles from the enemy that God wants to warn us about, like Elijah did with the army of Israel. Amen. So God's giving you an anointing for that. Amen, in Jesus' name, to protect, to have people be in the right place at the right time. Amen. Whether that's a business deal or whether that's talking to somebody, getting them saved. Amen. Getting them filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Feel the power of God all over that. God, I kept seeing your ear. Like I've seen these movies, these Westerns, where, you know, you see the Indian guy who's a scout, and he puts his ear down to the ground. He gets, they're about 3 miles out. You're like, how do you do that? How do you know they're 3 miles out? Because he could tell. He just had a heart for it. He had knowledge of it. Amen. In Jesus' name. And the same thing with you. You have an ear for that. Put on the heart of God, on the ground of God. Amen. And see what's coming so we can be in the right place at the right time. Amen. All right. That's a powerful word, my God. I could preach on that one right there because I saw something. I saw some amazing stuff when I just got that. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah, my God. Amazing. Okay. I wonder where we get stuck. 940-224. Who am I talking to, come please?
Michael from Texas.
Hey, Michael, my brother. All right, good to have you, Michael. Thank you, Jesus, for Michael from Texas, a Texas boy. Texas man, Texas guy, Texas person, Texas whatever you are, Texas. You know, he's not young anymore. He's getting older. He's like, I think, 30 or something. not a young guy anymore. He's young. He's, you know, but anyway, I don't know why I'm even saying that. So thank you, Lord, that you're teaching my brother how to keep his youth, Lord, by walking in the Spirit. Keep his youth. Keep his sharp. Keep his sharp mind. Keep an energetic body. And keep the freedom that God that young people have in Jesus that when in your youth that you have the freedom that you have, God, to think new thoughts, to think creatively, to think of, you know, yeah, we listen to what other people say, but God always takes what they teach us, and we learn beyond what they've taught us, and we learn new things. And I thank you, Lord, that Michael, God, is going to learn new things, how to handle people, how to walk with people, how to deal with people. How to deal with a woman, a female. We've got to learn how to deal with a female. And the female's got to learn how to deal with males. Males are males. They're going to be males because they're made male. They have a little bit different personalities, but they're still a male. It's like a female. A female is a female. They're going to be a female. That's what they are, and you learn to work with them. You learn to give to one another, help each other, and understand each other so you can, be true friends. True friends understand each other. Michael, you have the power to understand things and understand people, to discern people, to feel them, know them. And God's going to really open that up for you so you can truly discern it in a way that you've never had before. Hallelujah. It's a sermon level, God. Mucha pecuara moja di prombe manapa. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Open him up to the knowledge of God, Father, about whatever he's doing, whether he's selling cars or he's selling toilet seats. It doesn't matter if he's talking to a woman or if he's talking to a man. Whatever he's doing, whatever business he's doing, whatever life he's a part of, whether he's, dealing with church people, ministry people, whatever, God, give him the wisdom of how to handle things, how to speak to people, how to get them to understand what he needs them to understand, what God is trying to download through him. In Jesus' name, they can connect to Michael in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 781-775. You want to talk to Ruth, please? All right, 781-775. I think that is... That's Martine, 781-775. All right, Martine, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Martine tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the love of God in her, Father, for fulfilling her dream, for fulfilling her purpose, God, for showing her the way that, for the ways that seem right unto a man. I thank you, Lord, that she will see that the difference between the ways of men seem right and the ways of God that are right, that she will see beyond that. She will see that the ways of man just many times just end up in bondage, but the ways of God always end up in a place of blessing. you know, always end up in a place to where, you know, we conquer and we move forward and in Jesus' name. And yeah. So thank you, Lord, for you entering into that place of saving. It's like I see God saving you time, Martine, saving you time and money and effort and energy, you know, that you don't mess with things that you don't need to mess with. In other words, that's just, that may things that seems right in demand, but it's not right for God. And so you're going like, okay, it seems right to me, seems right to man, seems right to people. You know what? I'm feeling something. You know, God does something different. So you move around it. You don't yield to it. You move forward with God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, for placing her in the place where she can, know the voice of God, hear the voice of God, be placed in that place to where she, walks with God and lives with God. And when she does make mistakes, which we all do, we're going to make mistakes. Not be afraid to make mistakes, knowing that because we're learning and growing, God's going to take it and make it even work out for good. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, make it work out for good because you love God. When you love God, it's like Jesus will fear. He said, do you love me? He just denied him. And I don't think Jesus wants to know, do you love me? So there's something about, just loving God. That those he works all things together for those who are called and who love him. You know, and loving God, is what keeps things on track with God, right? Yeah, so I thank you, Jesus, for the love ramp, God. You teach her how to nurture the love ramp, how to not only draw it out of people, but draw it out of herself and have to walk in it, live in it, and know that love, just like she overlooks things for people, people are going to overlook things for her. We just overlook things, and we if we have a problem, keep doing the same thing over and over again, it keeps getting messed up, then we stop and we talk about it. You know, we got a problem going on here. Let's kind of get out in the open and, see what we can do to change it. And we start working on it according to the Word of God. And I thank you, Jesus, for her compassion, for her love for you, Father, for her love for mankind, for her love for people. God, you're going to nurture that and open that up for her, God, and bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. And reward her for her ability to wait and be patient for you. God, you're going to highly reward her for being patient in Jesus' name, and waiting for the Lord. All right, 919-801, who am I talking to your phone, please?
Cheryl from North Carolina.
Cheryl, okay. All right, I think she said Cheryl. All right, Cheryl from North Carolina. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, God, for the ability to be able to endure. Enduring things means that sometimes things just take time. So we have to endure. It's like when you plant a seed, an apple seed or a flower. A flower can grow up in a few days, a few weeks. An apple seed tree takes time. And so you enjoy the growth of an apple tree because once you start bringing apples, then it just, it goes on for years and years. When a flower can grow up quick, but it fades away. But we still enjoy them. They're still part of life, the way God made it. He made flowers to enjoy them. But being able to understand the different processes and to be patient for that because being able to endure it and know that, if you know the process of something, it's going to take more time. An apple tree takes more time than a flower to grow and produce and enjoy the beauty of it. Because you understand that you don't get there every day. I can't believe you don't have apples yet. I can't believe you haven't borne me some roses from this rose. What is wrong with you? You don't get impatient. You kind of think, okay, wow, understand. So that with people dealing with things with your own blessings coming your way, that God shows you how you have to plant that seed. You have to plant that plant, whatever. Before something's going to grow, and then in the process of growing, that you be patient, water it, nurture it, knowing that it's going to produce fruit, knowing it's going to bring blessing, but it takes time. And in Jesus' name, the Lord, I thank you for the kindness of you've given her, the kindness inside of her, for inside of Cheryl, God, bring forth that kindness, Father, and reward her. God, let her find that kindness from another human being, from other human beings. God, that she will find the kindness from specific human beings. God, that kindness and that love and that connection of loving and being kind and loving and receiving intimate love from those that it comes from you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you're opening that up for her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The covenant that God has for you is that you have everything. You have a husband, children, family, houses, home, car, whatever you need. It's all in the covenant of God. And I think, Lord, you're teaching her how to activate that covenant and then be patient and watch as it comes to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. 804-218, you want to talk to her from, please?
This is Angie from Virginia.
Hey, Angie. How are you doing? Good to have you tonight. All right, good to have you. All right, thank you for being with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the rivers of love, God. You know, love is a river because God is, you know, an eternal river. And as we tap into the river, when we learn how to, that's why I think we spend our prayer time and our life, how do we tap into that river? Like, you know, we'll talk about Ruth Heflin so much with you. And what she did is she learned how to tap into that river of love. Because, you know, once you tap into the river of love, it's always there. It always manifests. It always does. It's just knowing how to do it. It's knowing how to activate it. It's knowing how to stick your toe in the water, stick your toe in the river, stick your toe. You know, it's Jesus' name that she can come in contact and touch that realm of the river of God's love, God, that flows within. Let the rivers of living water that flow out of her belly, God, let those rivers flow, God. Let those rivers bring healing to her, to her body, to her life. In Jesus' name, that those rivers bring her love, that the love that she needs, that draw love to her from other people. Amen. In Jesus' name, where she's comforted by that love and grows by that love, and we grow in love, it's because we're tapping into love. That love is watering you. That love is like water. Love is like water, and it waters us. The love, it's love water. And I thank you, Jesus, for that love water, watering her, nurturing her, filling her, strengthening her. In Jesus' name, opening her up, her mind up to how to love. All different kinds of, there's many different ways Jesus learned how to love. Different people he loved different ways. He learned to love the heathen one way. He learned to love the brothers in another way. He learned to love leadership in a whole other way. You know, sometimes correct them. Yeah, love functions so many different ways. Love can get angry. Love can get frustrated. Love can, but it's always out for the best of another person. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that gift in my sister, in Jesus' name. I always have for the best. Love is the best. It's the greatest. For the greatest of these is love. Faith is wonderful. Hope is wonderful. But love is the greatest. Hallelujah. And it brings the greatest out of people. When we love them, it brings the greatest out of them. Amen. In Jesus' name. Let love abound. Amen. All right. 111, can I talk to you from, please?
111. Hi, Barbara from
Houston. Hey, Barbara. All right. Hey, good to have you tonight, Barbara. Thank you, Barbara from Texas. Thank you, Jesus, for Barbara, Father. Thank you, Father, for anointing her feet. God, anointing her feet, for anointing her toes, anointing her feet, God. That, you know, when Mary anointed Jesus' feet, sometimes God uses people to anoint our feet, you know, when we're going through something, whatever's going on. You know, if we're going through some type of battle or whatever, God can bring people to anoint our feet. And God does it. It's like when Jesus was anointed by Mary, the alabaster box. He says, you know, I don't think she was aware of it. She's anointing me, he said, for my burial. You know, and so burial is, in God's eyes, is a beautiful thing because God was burying sin. He was bringing an end to the old and a beginning of the new. So anytime we come to the beginning of a new or end of the old, there's an anointing goes on that God anoints us for that burial. We have to bury. Sometimes we have to bury things. We have to let go. We let go of them. We bury them. We teach other people how to let go of things and bury them, you know, and move on with God. And there's an anointing for that, God. And I thank you, Jesus. Like when Mary helped Jesus. She helped him. He even said, this woman is helping me. You know, she's anointing me for it touched him. Lord, I thank you for bringing the people around Barbara, God, as she ministered them to anoint her feet, to wash her feet in Jesus' name for whatever she's going through, whatever she needs, whatever level that she's at, whatever it is, in Jesus' name, for blessing her, God, and touching her, God, in Jesus' name, and letting her, just like Jesus, you know, he felt comforted by this woman, this sinner woman, who God was now touching him. And Lord, let the people that she's helped touch her, God, be a blessing to her, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 612-991. Do I talk to Ruth from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Oh, hi, Joyce. All right, Joyce. All right, thank you, Lord, for Joyce. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for her priesthood, God, the priesthood of God inside of her. God, they're showing her priesthood. Because priests have a certain thing that they do, that if they don't do them, God's will isn't done. God uses priests to do certain things that if the priests don't do it, it doesn't get done. Like, you know, like, for example, in the Old Testament, you know, yeah, it's a good example. When Aaron's son offered up wrong incense, what happened? Well, it wasn't good. You know? So, but when they offered up good incense, what happened? You know, it was to God. It was like, you know, bringing forth this thing of God and hearing the prayers of God's people, and it was a sweet smell. So I thank you, Lord, for her priesthood, God, that she offers up sweet incense and sweet prayers before God. Not only on her prayers, but the prayers of others, the prayers of the desires and passions of her children, Father, the desires and passions of others. Because sometimes prayer is a desire and a passion from God in another person. You can see their destiny. And sometimes we pray, and God, bless my child with their destiny. And that's like a sweet-smelling praise before God. And the guy goes, yeah, that's a beautiful aroma. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that, Joyce. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to take care of business. Amen, because that sweet smell, it's not a sour smell. It's not praying out of bitterness. It's not praying out of resentment. It's not praying out of whiny. But it's praying out of thankfulness, and that incense, that sweet incense, the thanksgiving we pray, the thanksgiving we offer up. And when we do, you know, that sweet smell makes God want to come and be around the sweet stuff, right? Some people wonder, why didn't God answer my prayer? Well, sometimes, like many times with me, I've prayed in a kind of a whiny heart. I kind of prayed with a whiny, complaining thing. And the Lord says, you know, I want you to learn how to pray and praise me and worship me. Amen. And so that became that sweet smell. And I know you already do this. And God's going to show you that your sweet-smelling prayers are the ones that he gets his attention and makes him draw him in. I like the smell. You know, when you smell something good, you want to look at it. What is that coming from? That's awesome. Food or perfume or whatever, right? It always seems to speak about something. I think, Lord, that Joyce's prayers are speaking to God of, you know, the beauty, the smell, the aroma. Come on in, God, and you're invited into this place because of my thankful, grateful prayer that I bring before you, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, that makes me want to come down in the midst and answer those prayers, God. Do it with Joyce, Father, in Jesus' name. Let it be done for the sweet baby doll children and their grandchildren and all that, God. Bless her. Her future in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 803-991, you may talk to her, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Angela in South Carolina.
Oh, hey, Angela. Thank you, Lord, for Angela tonight. Father, you set a table before her. You're preparing a table for her, maybe even in the midst of your enemies or in the midst of people who don't understand you or whatever. I see God preparing a table for you in the midst of your enemies. In other words, he's feeding you, take care of you. He's going to use you as an example of, though you'd be surrounded with all kinds of, you know, things that are going on in the world, questions, fears, all kinds of stuff, that God's going to use you, that he's going to prepare a table for you in the midst of it and feed you when other people are not being fed, when other people who are, you know, enemies of God or don't understand God or don't really know God at all, they're going to look at you, they're going to look at your table and go, man, where's she getting that food from? Where's she getting that provision from? Where's that provision coming from? What's coming from God? And going to use her God as an example of how you prepare a table in the midst of situations that are, you know, not friendly and not great in circumstances, like Isaac in famine. He produced 100-fold crop. But like, you know, in the midst of trouble and troubled situations that we're surrounded with, God, do you use her, God, for your provision to reveal that you are the God of provision? You reveal your provision for your people in Jesus' name. And she is provided for, Father, abundantly. Amen. And she seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which she does. All those other things are being added to her in the name of Jesus, the conquering spirit to conquer, Father. Know that, look, my God is providing for me. It's not about how smart she is or how many people she knows or how much money she has. It's about who she trusts in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. A prepared table with food and provision. Amen. No fear in Jesus' name. All right. 402-650, who may I talk to you? Where are you from, please? All right. For Melissa, God, in Jesus' name, for John, Melissa, thank you, Lord, for their life, God. Thank you for giving them that sweet rest, Father, knowing that you're, even when we sleep, you're taking care of business. Even when we're resting, you know, we rest in you, knowing that you, the reason we can rest in you, God, is because we know you're taking care of something. You're taking care of business. And I thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for Melissa, God, as she had that her foot issue going on. Thank you, Lord, that you provide for them, God. Give them the strength and the wisdom. And let this whole situation with their issues and things that are going on around them be a time of great faith, of great love, of great connection, of great harmony. In Jesus' name. But the enemy tries to come in and bring division. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're coming in and bringing unity. You're bringing peace. You're bringing protection. You're bringing grace. You're bringing, like, you know, a love that we haven't seen before. A new love, a new level of love. And Jesus' name, between each other, between us and God, between our relationships, our fellowship, a greater love that height and the width and the length and the breadth of the love of God. So there's different levels of God's love, the height of it, the width of it, the length of the breadth of it. Yeah, and it's all there. We can experience it. And I thank you, Jesus. We can experience it through people. We can drink of it from the breath of God through a person. We can drink of it in our prayer life through the breath of God. In our prayer life, we can drink of it through people. And I thank you, Jesus. Show them how to drink of it from each other. If you love God in Jesus' name and from you in personal prayer, your personal life, and whoever else, whatever else, through ministry, so to drink of the milk of God's love. Hallelujah. Strengthen them, God, to open them up, Jesus. Show them the way. Well, there seems to be no way, God. You're making a way when there seems to be no way, Father. In the name of Jesus, you are making a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Wow, that's awesome. Really, really awesome. All right. 850-491, who I talked to you from, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Donna from Florida.
Oh, hey, Donna. All right, Donna, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Jesus, for that. You know, those things that try to distract her, Father, from the will of God. We all have them. They come all the time. Peter was walking on the water. What happened right in the middle of it? Here came, you know, the storm. That was really why he was walking on the water, because this was because of the storm. But at the same time, the very reason he was walking on the water, because Jesus told you in the middle of the storm, was the storm became the distraction. You know, so I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching Donna, Father, how to walk and see, keep our eyes on you, Jesus, where the distractions of the storm. We know the storm is there. We know it's raging. When he stepped out of the boat and walked on the water, that the storm was raging. It was crazy. It was, like, unbelievable. And yet, as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, everything was fine, right? And he kind of knew that at the same time. You know, the more he walked, the more he could think, what was going on? Is this thing going to, you know, so he got distracted. with the very storm. And of course, you know, Jesus saved him, and when he began to sink, but Jesus saved him. But it's like the powerful thing is that he had the faith to get out and walk in the water. Man, that's like amazing. Nobody ever walked in the water I've ever seen, ever heard of, except Jesus and Peter. That's it. Never heard of anybody. If they have, I don't know about it. And so he had an amazing. You have amazing faith, girl. You have amazing faith, and because your faith is so strong in Jesus, sometimes the enemy tries to distract you with the storms to get your faith to, you know, because your faith is so strong, you have the ability to believe things. When you believe the wrong things, you know, like fear things, like the storm. When the storm is, Peter started believing in the wrong thing, right? The storm started raging. He started believing in the wrong thing. So his faith went into how strong the storm was. It basically, instead of, you know, get our eyes on Jesus. So God is showing that your faith is so strong. And when you've got your eyes on Jesus, girl, your faith is amazing. You walk on the water. It's powerful. It's really amazing. So I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching her more and more how to not let that storm that she's been conquering become the thing that distracts her and takes her, causes her to sink a bit. And of course, God is always so gracious. He hasn't let us sink and be destroyed. It's just a minor thing. But I thank you, Lord, that she's been through plenty of those minor things. But I think, Lord, she's going to learn to walk on the water 100%, where she never gets distracted by the storm, never sinks, never goes down, and then teaching other people how to walk on the water, how to keep their eyes on Jesus. Amen. Amen. That teacher inside of her. Rise up. All right, 480-637. Can I talk to her friend, please?
Greg from Arizona.
Hi, Greg. All right, let's get one for Greg. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for that. Place that the plagues of life, God, that we're going to learn, we're going to rise up, we're going to learn that the plagues of life cannot plague us. We are walking in obedience with you, God. The plagues can't come near us. You know, that we talk about it all the time, but walking in it is a whole different thing. People think because they're Christian, they're automatically going to walk free of the plagues. Not true. This is not true because, you know, Jesus, I mean, God even talked about in the Old Testament, you know, and even the new in many ways, that obey my word and all these blessings. Don't obey it and these curses come. What are curses? The curses are the things that it's not God saying, oh, I'm going to put something bad on you. The curse is the withdrawal of God's protection, right? Where the enemy's able to come in and, you know, it's not God, you know, sending the enemy to do things. Sometimes the enemy can get that protection is missing because the curse is that. So yeah, thank you, Lord, that as Greg is walking with you, God. He knows. He's seen this. He knows about this. And I thank you, Lord, that he, as he walks in the blessing of the Lord, that your protection, that your grace on him, your mercy on him, your power upon him, Father, to keep him and to keep his eyes on you, God, that the blessing, when the blessing's there, we have increase in multiplication, right? Yeah, that's what the blessing is. The blessing is increase in multiplication. And, you know, so we walk in obedience to you, God. We thank you, Jesus, for that. That's what happens, that not only protection, but multiplication and increase. God, and I thank you, God, you called him to be fruitful and to multiply, God, in Jesus' name, and to increase, Father, that he's part of the priesthood of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so that's part of the warfare you go through, is being part of the priesthood of heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Cool. All right, Greg. God bless you, man. All right, 215-360. This is the person who texted me earlier. Yes.
Yeah. Hi, good evening. It's Glennis.
Glennis. Okay, hi, Glennis. Make sure. Okay, I guess, yeah, Glennis, okay, from Pennsylvania. All right, Glennis. Thank you, Glennis. All right, good to have you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to mute you for a second, and then I know you probably do the show. I'm going to mute you just for a moment. I'm going to pray for you, prophesy over you, speak over you, and then go to the next caller. Thank you, Lord, for Glennis. God, we thank you for Pennsylvania. And Glennis, we thank you, Jesus, for her life. And we thank you for the victory, for the realm of victory, God. You're going to show her how to walk in victory. Sometimes we do lose the victory at times. We all do. You know, we go through temptations. Sometimes we do good in temptations. Sometimes we get good in trials. Sometimes we don't. And that's just the way it is. We're growing and learning. It's not about that we're a bad Christian and a good Christian, a bad Christian and a good Christian. We're growing and learning. We're ever increasing the knowledge of God. and learning, okay, now I shouldn't have done that, should have done this. The Lord goes, yeah, no problem. He didn't say, you bad kid, you're stupid, you're ignorant. God doesn't do that. He knows that we're learning and growing. He knows when we get it really good. When you get it, Glennis, you get it really good. When you don't got it, you don't got it really good. It's like me. I tell people all the time, when I got it really good. You know, and when I don't got it, yeah, I don't got it. So I thank you, Lord, that Glennis, you're teaching Glennis how to get it, how to get the victory and keep the victory, how to walk in the victory and live in the victory. And we never have to lose the victory. The only time we lose anything is when we, because God never loses anything. It's only us. When we all make mistakes, we all fail, we all make wrong decisions at times. But then God says, okay, you're learning, you're growing. So, you know, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to work it out for good. But once you learn from something, he takes everything, Glennis. He takes everything that you've made mistakes on and failed on. He takes all that stuff that we had lost and pain and heartache. He takes it and he turns it out for your good. Yeah. But the thing is, it's learning, ever learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth. Instead of not coming to the ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We ever learn when we come to the knowledge. We learn from our mistakes, and we all make them all the time. And learning from them, growing from them. Then the losses that we had during those learning stages, that they become something that God says, okay, now I'm gonna bless you with everything that you lost. I'm gonna bring it back to you and increase it back to you. Why? Why? Because you've learned, you've grown, you've seen. Okay, I'm not gonna do this particular thing and that particular thing together anymore. God starts putting things together for you. You start learning and growing, and even in the losses, that's how God restores things. He doesn't just restore them just to be a nice guy. Glennis, he restores them because we're learning. We've learned. And in learning, sometimes you lose. Sometimes Peter sunk in the water. He lost his victory, man. But, you know, he got another chance. He preached to 5,000 later. Preached to 5,000 people, I say. You know, so, hey, he learned. And so you're learning, you're growing. And in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for opening up that understanding. That the way you restore all the things that have been lost is because when we learn, we don't keep making the same mistakes. Israel kept walking in the wilderness 40 years. Why? Because they never learned anything. I mean, how many times have I done that in my life? Plenty in areas of my life. But most areas I do pretty good. I learn eventually. And when I learn, everything I lost, God restores it. So God's going to do that with you. He's going to restore to you that the cankerworm, the pondworm has eaten. Going to restore to you because why? Because you're learning and you're growing. You go, man, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for showing me how to do this, leading me and guiding me into all truth. Amen. We're not going to make the same mistakes. Then God goes, okay, now you're ready to receive that all what you lost and come back and be restored to you in Jesus' name to the full and more. Amen. Awesome, Glennis. Good to have you tonight. Thank you for calling in. All right. 405-803. Who am I talking to you, friend, please?
This is Autumn Hayes.
Hey, Autumn. All right, Autumn. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the coworkers. You call Autumn a coworker. Father, you work with you. We don't work on our own, and God doesn't work on his own either, Autumn. He works with us. We are co-workers. We are co-heirs together. Christ, the Emmanuel, God with us. You know, God with us, God helping us. You know, we don't work alone. God doesn't work alone. He always works. He works with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father, the Word, the Spirit. They all work together. And what does God do now? He works together with us. He gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. He says, let's work together. I'll give you the wisdom. I've created all this whole thing. And because I've created it, I know all about it. And if you'll listen to me when I come down and talk to you and do things as I suggest, that you're going to find that everything's going to be really, really great. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for my brother. God, that you've given him wisdom, God, on how to handle things, how to do things. In Jesus' name, that you have knowledge of all things, and you want to give that to him so that he can increase and multiply, Father, in Jesus' name. Because all the earth is in Christ Jesus, not on the devil's end, but in Christ Jesus. End of everything is blessing and multiplication. Period. That's it. So I thank you, Lord, that you're showing my brother how to disengage himself from that other and walk in victory and walk in obedience to you, God. So the devil can't come in just anytime he wants to and do whatever he wants. No, our protection comes from obedience to God. Amen. Our obedience doesn't save us, or we lose our salvation through our obedience. Christ's salvation is free. Our obedience, the labor and the work of our labors and obedience to God, that's for the rewards, not for our salvation. And so many people don't understand that. And they get it mixed up in the word. All right. All right, 504-282, who am I talking to you from, please? Do I have anybody on here? Hello, 504-282. All right, 504-282, are you there? Okay. All right. 504-282, are you there? All right, hang on a second here. Well, I think you're 504-282, God. I don't know who that is. Thank you, Jesus, for the compassion that you're giving and releasing, Father, revealing that you are a compassionate God. You're a God who gives compassion because we're human beings. And you know that when we were born with sin, born under sin through Adam and Eve, that's what we do. We have some weaknesses that are depending on what we inherited from our parents, our weaknesses, our strengths. So you have compassion on us because you know that a lot of the stuff that we partake of is pure injustice, the way we've been oppressed with born in sin, that we never had anything to do with it. So the injustice of all that, you have compassion on us because of that, knowing that your compassion is going to save us, going to heal us, going to deliver us, going to bring us into the new, that God, with 504-282, you're going to bring them into the new by your compassion, by your mercy, by your grace, knowing that God knows we're failures without him. He knows that we have a devil that wants to kill us and just kill, steal, and destroy us, right? But he's come to give us life. And I thank you, Lord, for my friends, 504, God, that you will give them grace and mercy and compassion and tenderness, knowing that we are failures without you. But God, in you, with your compassion, we have a chance. With your mercies, we're going to make it, because you understand our state. You understand the state of man. It's just that when you keep showing us and we keep resisting it, that's when we lose out, when you keep showing us and we keep resisting. So help my friend not to resist, and my friend to know in Jesus' name and walk with you, God. Amen. Be victorious and successful. All right, 769-220, who am I talking to you from, please?
It's Andrika in Georgia.
Hi, Andrika. Hi, Andrika. All right. What a great visit we had last night. It was so awesome. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for the kindness that you put in Andrika's heart, God, the kindness to take care of people, to be a blessing. The covenant of God is to bless us, to be a blessing. And that's my heart you've given her, God, is her blessings are to be a blessing, that we take care of things, we take care of people, we help people, we show compassion, we show the love of Jesus. You know, Mary brought the alabaster box in. You know, she was there to minister to Jesus, you know, and it was expensive. It was costly, but it showed you how she looked at Jesus and how she worshiped, how she honored him, that she didn't care what it cost. All the disciples, man, you know how much money that guy, we could have sold that and paid for the taking care of the poor. And Jesus going like, you don't understand. This woman knows what's going on with me. She's anointing me. The value that she's placed upon me. And I thank you, Lord, for the value that you put within Andrika, God, to bring forth with the sacredness of worship, with the sacredness, Father, of the expensive spike girl was the sacred value that she had for Jesus. She was just without even thinking about it, she was like broken. And my God, I give everything to you, Jesus. That was her spirit. And that's why God, you know, made a big deal out of it. That's why Jesus made such a big deal out of it. She was so blessed. She was doing things that she didn't even know what she was doing. She was anointing him for his burial, not even knowing what she was doing. But because her heart for him was to worship him and to do whatever he wanted. And that caused her to enter into the emotional realm of Jesus, into the heart of God, to know what Jesus was feeling, that he was being betrayed, he was being turned on, they were at that very moment in the scripture, they were gathering together in the Sanhedrin to find a way to betray, to destroy him. And she knew that. She picked it up in the spirit somehow or another. And she was anointing him, not even knowing what she was doing. Why did she do it? Because her heart was loaded with value toward the Lord, that God had put that in her. And she walked in and she broke the alabaster box and the aroma filled the whole room. God, I thank you for Andrika's life. God, her love for you, God, will fill the whole room. That people will feel and sense the value that she has put upon you, Jesus, and who you are. And therefore, you're going to put a value upon her. Your value of her is going to be made manifest. Yes, even in the natural realm, the value that you have upon her. Because she values you, God. You, when we give unto you, you always give back. Whether it's our love we give, whether it's our money, whatever it is we're doing, you give back. And man, she really loves me. And that's what Jesus was saying. Man, this woman loves me. And man, she's going to be blessed. So thank you, Lord, for that whole thing of worship and the value. Because when we value you, your value toward us manifests. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, the value that you have upon us. You show the world how much you, like when you, even the woman who had the two mites, you showed the whole world. You told everybody, man, this woman, even she gave two, she values me. She values God so much. She's given even of her living and the value she has. This is, they're going to be talking about her from now on. And of course, we still do because he made it public. He made her value of him public to the whole world. Look at this woman, what this woman has done. Yep, same thing with her, the woman with the alabaster box. Amen. All right. Cool. 111. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. Jeff and Yuki from Phuket Island.
Phuket Island.
From where? Oh, Thailand.
We're in an island, Thailand Island.
Oh, a Thailand
Phuket.
Island. Okay. Cool. A Thailand Island. All right. I thought you were saying Thailand. Okay. Thank you. Gotcha. I was thinking about you guys today, wondering how you're doing, and praying for you and just saying, God, you know, let the leaves, let the things that they produce be healing for the nation. You know, the Bible talks about the leaves are for the healing of the nations, right? I've been bringing this up a little bit off and on with different situations, but like the leaves are your life, that's a tree of life, the family tree, the tree of life. Jesus was a tree. You know, your life is a tree. Your Yuki's life is a tree, the tree of life in you, and how what you're being grown for. Like some people are grown, they grow apples. Some people grow peaches. Some people grow, you know, figs. Some people, everybody grows a little bit different thing. And I thank you, Lord, that the leaves from, the Bible talks about that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And I thank you, Lord, that the leaves from their tree, from Jeff and Yuki's tree, are for the healing of the nations, one way or the other, to restore them to God and God's love through the love fest, or to restore them with their health, physical, to eat the right things, and then also to preach the gospel of Christ and his love and his healing virtue and his healing power through the cross of Calvary, through the body of Jesus, that they have health, that God is wanting to use you guys to bring health to the globe. The healing for the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Let me see if I can find where that scripture's at exactly. Give me a second. Leaves. I'll find it here. Leaves. Healing. That's the nations. Okay, here we go here. I don't even know where it's at, but I know it's biblical. Yeah, OK, Okay, Revelation 22:2. Oh, 22:2. Oh, wow. Now that is just shock. I did not know this was like that, y'all. Okay. Revelations 22:2. That's 2:2:2. The year 22:22. The year of treasures. It says, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation in the midst of the street thereof. Yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of what the scripture I'm getting here. But, yeah, so you somehow you're connected. The leaves of the healing. So healing can be in a lot of different ways. It can be through scripture, through preaching the gospel. That people get healed through preaching and prayer. People get healed through eating the right foods. People get healed through wearing the right clothing. You know, like not wearing clothing that is that messes their body up. But like even in the law, God told them not to mix certain materials and all that kind of. So everything bringing healing, everything that brings healing, food that brings healing, and Jesus, medicines that bring healing, herbs that bring healing, and Jesus returning to the Garden of Eden, basically, Jesus saying, hallelujah, open that up, bless them in Thailand, the island of Thailand, and bless them, Jesus, open them up, God, in Jesus' name, give them courage and strength to stand for what you stand for, to believe for what you're believing for, God. Have the heart of God reach the nations to prepare for that, to their leaves of their life become, their purpose is that their life, the tree of life, that their life is being brought forth to be the healing of the nations, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And be blessed because of that. Amen. Kings. I was thinking about the word I gave you guys about being kings today. That's what I was thinking about you guys about. I remember the first time I gave you a word about learn how to think like a king. Amen. A king and a queen. Yeah. That's what I was thinking about today. 22:2, man. That, yeah, I was surprised that was there. I mean, I did not realize that was that. I love it. That is so awesome. Amen. And bless the people that they're coming in contact with. Let them be evangelists. That spirit of evangelism upon them, God. That everything, when the time is right, the place is right, that they are able to somehow evangelize one way or the other in Jesus' name and get people to understand God is real. Amen. He's the healer of the nations. Wow. All right, 303-881. Who am I talking to from, please?
This is Jackie, Mark, and Alana from Colorado.
All right, Jackie, Mark, and Alana. All right, let me go here. All right, Jackie, Mark, and Alana. Alana, whatever it was. Alana. Not sure which one it was. All right, Jack. Oh, whoops, Jackie and Mark. Oh, no. thank you, Lord, for Jackie, for Mark, and Alana. Well, I thank you, Jesus, for them. I thank you, Lord, for opening them up to the pathway of victory, to the pathway of victory, God, that you give them the information they need to make the right decisions. God, in Jesus' name, that to the decisions that we make, you know, choose you this day, what the choices that we make every day, you know, it's the daily choices we make that affect us more than anything. The daily choice, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our day, our daily choices as they're making their daily choices, God. New Colorado people? What do you mean by that? New Colorado people. Okay. Jeff and Yuki, you're saying new Colorado people. All right. I don't know. All right. Cool, though. I like it. Thank you, Jesus, for that place, God. In Jesus' name, in Jackie's life, God, that you that you're opening their heart up to the places that you want them to go. We go places in the spirit. And when where we go in the spirit, our body it follows, our mind follows, you know, our soul follows. Show them God how to go places in the spirit realm. Show them how to go places by the word of God. Because when we go by the word, we live in the word, by the word, for the word. God, when we do that, we make our decisions from the word of God by the Holy Spirit. Then that's where we go. That's the land we go to, like the land of promise, the land of blessing. Like the children of Israel, they kept walking around in the wilderness, going in circles, never got out. Because why? They kept going to all the wrong places, right? They kept whining and complaining. And thank God you guys don't do that. You're grateful and thankful to God for what he's doing. But I thank you, Lord, that grateful, I've been learning lately that gratitude and an attitude of gratitude, Lord, before the Lord, opens up things to so I can see my way out of a thing or through a thing. When I start complaining, which I've done plenty of that in my life, God shows me that I blind myself. So I learned how to praise him and thank him. Jesus broke the bread and blessed it and gave it. When you break the bread and give thanks, he gave thanks. And giving thanks, God, thank you, Jesus, for showing Mark and how to give thanks, God, how to give thanks. We learn it more and more. Thank you for giving him a thankful heart, God. Thank you for that. Thank you, God, that you show him how to enter into that pure thanksgiving. The beauty of Thanksgiving, the glory of Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving opens up and multiplies things. It causes increase. When we complain, like Israel did, it causes things to diminish and fall apart. We become blinded. The bread of Thanksgiving opens up our eyes. I thank you, Lord, for Mark, eating the bread of Thanksgiving like never before, Father. You're opening him up in Jesus' name. Amen. And Alana, brother, thank you, Jesus, for Alana's life that we speak peace and victory. Thank you that Alana's mouth become a mouth of purity, a mouth of victory, a mouth of power, a mouth that speaks forth, things to change for good, things to change for glory, things to change for blessing. When things change, they don't change for the worse, they change for the better. Thank you, Jesus, for that, for the glory of that. In Jesus' name, that Alana's mouth become a mouth of praise and thanksgiving. Amen. A mouth that releases victory and joy. A mouth that releases the power of God, the victory of God. Amen. In Jesus' name, how that Alana's mouth becomes a mouth of releasing joy in Jesus' name. And something new and the old passing away and new. Becoming new in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, becoming new. Amen. For Jackie, God, we thank you, Lord, for Jackie, God, that the new heart you've given Jackie, Father, to be at peace, to be at rest, to trust you, to believe you, and all the things she's gone through, God. One of the things you're teaching her is how to be at peace and rest, how to trust you, how to enter into that place of rest, knowing that when we don't rest, we struggle and we battle and we wear ourselves out. But I thank you, Jesus, that the victory is having entered into that rest, that you're going to take care of things, that you're going to do things, you're going to move, you're going to take care of those things. And I thank you, Lord, for Jackie's faith in you, Jesus, that she's doing that right now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. All right. All right, 864-313. Can I talk to you real quick, please? All right, 864-313. That is it, right? Yeah, 64. All right. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. All right, 64. Actually, you're not there. Hang on a second. I want to take just a minute. Give me just a moment here, 864. Thank you. All right, 64313, and back. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Pray 64. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of God, that God shows you the faithfulness of God. God is faithful even when we're unfaithful. When we don't know how to be faithful, when we're so overrun with everything, we just kind of fall apart. He's so gracious, man. Even when we're unfaithful, he's faithful. And you can depend on that, A64. You can depend on his faithfulness. His faithfulness is always there. And, I'm sure you're a faithful person and all that. It has nothing to do with being unfaithful, but it has to do with the knowing that if we feel like we're failing, God is there to, but then the fruits that we walk into, the blessings that we walk into, is really about our the purity of our love and for him and our faith and obeying God, what God tells us to do, and walking that obedience. And I thank you, Lord, for A64, that walking that spirit of obedience, Father, learning how to walk in that more and more and more, and confirming and showing and revealing what faith that they're walking in. We walk in our own faith, then we produce our own results. When we walk in the faith of God, we produce the results of God. And the more results we produce from God, the more we produce fruits from God. It just starts to get, you know, we learn and grow, and we make mistakes, and the more we learn to obey him and hold on and don't get ahead of ourselves and run ahead of ourselves and be impatient. Impatience is one of my greatest enemies, and gets me more trouble than anything. And so, so thank you, Jesus, for giving my friend the ability to be patient, Father, wait and seek you and find you and wait till you show them what to do before they do anything that wounds them or hurts them or causes them problems. That they're blessed and favored, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, to do the right thing at the right time, to be blessed too. All right, 608-967, who am I talking to your friend, please?
I'm Shannon in Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right, my brother, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory trial. I thank you, Lord, for all the how God is really revealing to you the sanctification part of God, how he sets us apart from people who are, you know, weird or odd or whatever that try to mess us up. How God separates us and sanctifies us and sets us apart unto himself. Only God can do that. And, of course, when we ask him to, we'll be willing to lose our life, to gain his life. Be willing to be set apart and then trust him for the results. Because the biggest part about God is trusting for the results. So the results are going to be what I think. They're always going to be good when they're God, right? But sometimes we don't think that they're, you know, that is this the right direction? Is this the right thing? Is this the right person? And it takes trusting God to be able to, you know that when we give things to him, he's going to take it his direction, right? And we can trust him for it and believe him for it. And that, you know, like with me, it's the market, especially with the market situation. The market situation, you know, I'm always like thinking, am I just, you know, not hearing from God clearly right now? What's going on? He always speaks to me, but it seems like I get impatient with myself. And so it comes from just to God, teach me how to trust you. Teach me how to trust you, God, and to wait on you and to be patient with myself and with the process and knowing that you have something greater for me than I know of. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, that it's just being done. It is being done, God, in Jesus' name. You are working things out, and we just wear ourselves out. How many times have I worn myself out going, okay, God, you know, and it's like, and I just wear myself out. Lord says, when do you learn to quit wearing yourself out? Relax, rest in me. You know, you think I can't handle it? You think I can't do it? God, but am I missing something? Am I missing? That's my biggest question. Am I missing something? Am I not doing something right? You know, it's like, you know, when we love God, we're going to do what God says. Eventually, he's going to show us. Eventually, he's going to open us up to it. It's about persistence, right, Shannon? It's about persevering and persistence. And you're being really tested now. That's really, God is really testing. He tests you with that. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be done. It will be done in Jesus' name. It is already done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. Thank you, Shannon. God bless you, my brother. Amen. 225. All right. 225-454. Can I talk to Ruth, please?
Hi, I'm Karen from Louisiana.
Karen?
Hello.
All right. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my sister tonight. Thank you, Lord, for her love for you, God, that when we love you, all things work out together for good. The love walking in love. How can we love unless we let God love us? And I thank you, Jesus, for caring, God, that you're showing her how to let you love her. Sometimes we have to let God love us. The Bible says he loved us first, right? The reason we love is because he loved us first, John. And so letting God love us, I mean, that's been one of the most difficult things. I think it took me years, and I'm still learning it big time, how to let God love me. I'm always wanting to love. I always wanted to show my love for God. I love you, God. I love you. I said, relax, Randy. You know, let me love you. And when you let me love you, then you have love to love me with. And then you start loving the things that I love. You know, when we walk in love, love is powerful, man. Love is passionate. Love, you start finding yourself loving people you didn't love before. Oh, man, that's God. Loving things that God wants you to be a part of. Never had that before. You know, people say you can't love things. Yeah, if God loves a thing, you can love it. Because it's a thing he wants you to be a part of or be connected to or whatever the thing is. Sometimes God wants you to have things, you know, that bring blessing to him. So I thank you, Lord, for that whole love for him, God, that you're causing her to walk in, Jesus, that she is full of love. The love of God penetrates her soul. The love of God penetrates her being. The love of God loves other people through you, Karen, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Over the banner over Karen is love. The love of God. The love of, for God so loved the world, Karen, that he gave his only begotten son. Who would give his only begotten son to a wicked world? It had to be pure love, right? Thank you, Jesus, for that evangelist inside of her, God. That's awakening to the call of God. The love for God so loved the world, Karen, that he gave his only begotten. She's willing to give of her life, give of her time, give of her whatever, because out of love, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And love is the greatest, because love sees things completely different from other things. Amen. The love of God, so rich and free. The song like that. Oh my God, it's so powerful. I remember the first time I heard somebody sing that. Roger McDuff, I think is his name. The love of God, Karen, it's so rich and free. It's rich and it's free. Woo! Hallelujah. My God, pour it on her, Jesus. Pour it in her, through her, out of her. Let the rivers of living water pour out of her belly. The rivers of love, the love of God that loveth, that's willing to lay down their life, God, for you, Jesus. Whatever you say, do, she will do it. Amen. Let it be done. Amen. All right, 251-229. You want to talk to me, friend, please?
Yes, hi. Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Right,
good to have you tonight. All right. Good to have you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all the little the images that she has. The Bible says we take communion. It says, do this in remembrance of me. Thank you for all the memories you give her, God, of the blessings you pour out of her life, the blessings of her mama, the blessings of her family, the blessings, just the different blessings that she's had that God has blessed you with. And just to count through many blessings, name them. There's old song you should sing in church. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So there's something about praise, right, and thanksgiving, and thanking God for what he's done. Remembering those things. It's the memory. That's why she said, do this in remembrance of me. There's something about memories. Memory of the Holy Ghost and fire on your life, all the ways he's provided and given you life, protecting you from Satan's very hand. Yeah, I'm getting into singing mode, y'all. Uh-oh, watch out. Here it comes. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Pour your life into her, God. Pour your love into her, Jesus. Pour your ministering spirit. The ministering spirits are spirits of fire, angels, ministers of fire. Fire, God, in Jesus' name, to burn away all the things that the enemy tries to clog and stop and hinder. In Jesus' name, when the angels fight, like with Daniel, you know, he said, hey, Daniel, Gabriel, you know, was telling him that, man, I came the first day that you prayed, but there was Henderson and Michael, the archangels. So those angels get involved in all that. And we thank you, Lord, that it still goes on today. And we thank you, Jesus, for your angels as flames of fire. In Jesus' name, to burn through the things that try to stop us. Stop Sarah, in Jesus' name, to keep her in that place where she's breaking through on a daily basis with your love, with your compassion, with her future, God, in Jesus' name, giving her hope to live, giving her hope to believe. Amen. Amen, in Jesus' name. No matter what it seems like, no matter what it feels like, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. All right, 303-517. Who am I talking to you from, please? 303-517, are you there? All right, 303. My ad here. 303-517. Jesus. All right. Thank you for 307, that is. Thank you, Jesus. Father, for their life, thank you for the victory, God, in Jesus' name. The victory is always in Christ. We never get victory in our flesh. We never get victory by doing things on our own, right? It may look like we got the victory, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. Thank you, Jesus, for true victories in my friend's life. True victory, God. The true victory comes from the Word of God. It comes from the life of God. It comes from the Spirit of God. It comes from God's plan, from God's will, from God's place. And we are working, we are heirs together with God, working together with Him. He tells us what to do, and we do it. Right? He has to have somebody to tell what to do. You're right? How can they hear unless somebody's sent? You know, what do they get sent with? The Word of God. So God is speaking, we do it. Thank you, Lord, for showing the victory comes when we obey you, God. We're working together with God. God's working together, trying to work all things out together for good. Amen. And it takes a willing vessel that love you and willing to that you're choosing the way you've chosen them to obey you, to walk in you, God, to love you, to worship you, to get in your word and let the Holy Spirit activate it. We don't always have our own way about everything. This is what we want. This is what I want. I want it right now. Amen. We're willing to obey, God, not my will, but your will be done. So show me what your will is so I can desire it. Show me what your will is so I can have that desire in my heart and desire it from my heart, because it's with the heart that desires from God come to pass. The prayers get answered from the heart. With the heart, man desires. He said, I will give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Pour it in, pour it out, pour it through. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, 847-239. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Stephanie? Okay. All right, Stephanie, thank you for being here. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for the kindness of God, the kindness of God. Father, that, you know, the Bible says, you know, be merciful and you shall obtain mercy. You know, the kindness of God, Father, that you reveal your kindness to her, Father, in ways she's never seen before, that you nurture her, water her. God's going to water you with his kindness. I just sense the watering of God's kindness toward you. He's watering you, watering you. Sometimes we need to be watered with certain. Sometimes God waters me with faith. Sometimes he waters me with love. Sometimes he waters me with compassion. Sometimes he waters me with correction. You know, and then, you know, thank you, Jesus, for watering my sister in the name of you with your kindness, God. Sometimes we just need a certain kind of water, certain nutrients. Kindness has a certain nutrition in it that nothing else has, and it nurtures us. But to know that God is kind, kind toward us, kind toward, you know, his people, kind toward, you know, Stephanie, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for your love and for your anointing in Jesus' name and for the power of your love, for the power of your glory that rests upon her, God, to manifest the wisdom of God, the glory of God, the things of God, the peace of God, the power of God. Hallelujah. Through your kindness to her, Jesus. Through your kindness to her, God. Let it be done through your kindness. May the kindness of God be manifest to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. May he prosper you in his will, kindness. All right, 954-580, who am I talking to from, please?
Hi, this is Carolyn from Jamaica.
Oh, hi, Carolyn from Jamaica. All right, good to have you tonight, Carolyn. Thank you, Lord, for Carolyn. Thank you, Jesus, for Carolyn. Father, I thank you, Father, for the pieces of the puzzle coming together for her, Father. That she starts seeing this puzzle fits with that puzzle. Instead of putting the puzzle together, you have to kind of get in the mode of the puzzle and get the feel of the puzzle and start putting pieces here and pieces there that look like it might fit. And pretty soon you start putting actual pieces together. You start saying, man, you know, this thing's on a roll. We're going somewhere with this thing. Thank you, Lord, that you're showing Caroline that that she's actually in the process of moving forward. In Jesus' name, it's not going to be. It is. That it is moving forward, that it is happening, that it's step by step, day by day, here a little, there a little, in Jesus' name, and start showing her the process of how it's just, you know, it's progressive, but it's not just like all of a sudden, boom, you know, like what we want, what we think we want. But really, he puts the pieces together, this piece, that piece, daily, every puts the pieces together, helps us get through something, shows us where we're failing, shows us how to fix it. You know, all the different pieces of the puzzle come together, and all of a sudden, God, oh, my God, I've been moving forward with God. God is moving forward with me. This is amazing. Hallelujah. The glory of God, the ministering angel, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let it be done, God. Come forth, rivers of God. Flow the knowledge, the wisdom of God. The ability to contain information, believe it, know it, walk in it, and comprehend what she needs to know to fulfill her purpose, God. Pass all of her tests to do the things she needs to do to answer the questions right. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. All right, another one. Did I already do 225? I think I just did 225. 225-454, you there? I just do that. Let's go.
Yeah, you did me already.
Okay, thank you. I thought I did it. Sorry. 954-580. I think I'm getting all mixed up with my numbers here. Caroline?
Yes, Prophet Randy.
Okay, dear. Thank you. Sorry about that. My computer just went ka-chingo, and so I lost my number situation there, so I had to come back. I got it. So thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Amen. 440-306. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, it's Anonymous. 440. Also for Leon.
Leon? Hello. Okay. Yes. I got you. Leon and Anonymous. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for Leon and Anonymous. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Leon, God, that you bear Leon's life, God, in the realm of All right, Anonymous and Leon, thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the combining together of their faith, Father, that you combining them together, Lord, mix, you know, when God mixes people together and he brings people together, he mixes them together like a like mixing up, to cook something. He puts a little bit of this, a little bit of that together, or let that mix begin to bring forth, something that rises to the occasion of being something that's blessed. Father, that shows, progress, bring progress about with Leon, Father, in Jesus' name, and Anana, that you're bringing progress along for them and with them in their lives. God, in Jesus' name, that they begin to see that progress is that when God tells you to do something, you do it. Therefore, you move forward. If he doesn't tell you to do something, you stay there. But when you're staying there, you're protected. When you're staying there, you're kept. So that's why we don't move forward until God tells us to move forward. I thank you, Lord, for giving them step by step, Father, in Jesus' name. Learn to value and appreciate every little step that comes along, to learn to take each step one step at a time and take it properly and carefully, in Jesus' name. And, so to bring forth great results from that, so it's solid and complete. In Jesus' name, bring miracles, Father. Open up the realm of miracles, Father, for Anonymous, that show how miracles happen. In Jesus' name, if something wasn't happening, it wasn't working, then all of a sudden it was, because the miracle that God gives is the miracle of obedience and then watching God do, because he works with us. It's the miracle of God working with us. It's amazing that when God works with us, he tells us to do something, we do it, and then we watch God bring it to pass. Oh, my God, it's amazing. Okay, it's called the agreement of prayer, Anonymous. God's trying to come in agreement in prayer with him for the miracle to happen. Miracles come in many different packages from many different ways. And so I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring it to pass, God. Let them put the right ingredients together. Let them, their obedience in Jesus' name. Words are the ingredient. How we mix them together and obey it and do what God says is what mixes the ingredients together to make it work and make it happen. In Jesus' name. Whatever gets cooked up the right way. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Bring peace, Father, bring rest. In Jesus' name, bring forgiveness, bring understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, it's almost midnight. If you want prayer tonight, get your hand up, because I'm fixing to call it a night. And, all right, 402-650, I've already prayed for you. I think you just re-raised your hand. Yeah, I've already prayed for you, 402. You were in line earlier, I think. Anyway, here we go. All right, 863-808, I'm with you.
Hey, this is Cheryl from Florida.
All right, thank you, Cheryl. In Jesus' name, thank you. Hallelujah. All right. All right, take it over, Cheryl, from Florida. Yes, thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord, for, thank you, God, for opening up the heart of Cheryl, God. For the heart of Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for opening your heart, God. Sometimes we close our hearts to protect ourselves, for seasons, for times, whatever it is. And then when it comes time to, like God says, he gives us the ability to open up our hearts again. And it's our own will, our own choice. So I thank you, Lord, that Cheryl's opening her heart, Father, to you as her Heavenly Father, as the Father who knows best for her, as a Father she trusts, as a Father that she knows can do exceeding abundantly above all she could ever ask or even think of. So God, the Father, does more than what we ask him for. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, or even imagine. And I thank you, Lord, that you're opening her heart, blossoming her heart to believe you, to trust you, Jesus, and in ways that she tried to do before and was working on that, but the time and the seasons were not right. And I thank you, Jesus, for your opening up the timing, the times, and the seasons, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, that our heart is being opened. You're opening heart She'll open it little by little. We open up our hearts. You know, as God gives us the faith, as He gives us the way to do it, how to do it, and when to do it. And I thank you, Jesus, that we feel safe, God, in you, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Kafara hakatia dwells in the secret place in the Most High God. Amen. She that dwelleth in the secret place in the Most High God shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That protection, that realm of protection, God, that place of protection, that place of glory, that place of knowing that you are watching over her. You are watching over her. Not just looking around, oh, whatever, Cheryl. No, you're watching her. Watching over her. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And as she sees your eyes, like Peter saw your eyes, he saw your face, and when you walked on the water, he called him out of the boat, and Peter was willing to do it. He opened up his heart. He said, God, you told me, Jesus, you said we could do what you do and greater things, so I believe that. So he opened up his heart, God, in Jesus' name, and he stood up, and he got out of the boat and walked, Father. Hallelujah. That water walk in faith, in Jesus' name. That you put within her, Father, in the name of Jesus. And then, of course, Peter sank, you know, and sometimes we have sunk a little bit. But you know what? God always gives us other chances. How many times has God given me chances to get back out on the water again and say, you know, now you're more focused, Randy. Now you're more focused, Cheryl. Now you're more focused. You're more focused. Now you know that you have to depend on me for everything, because this warfare, this battle, it's very real. Amen. It's very real. It's very, very, can be very deadly. Can be very, but at the same time, when Peter just got his eyes off of the Lord for a minute, when you walk in that atmosphere, and you're called to walk in that, you know, you can go down quick. You know, it can happen fast, but also it's a place of great victory. It's a place of great glory, and when you start realizing and knowing the reality of the spiritual realm, walking in it, then you know you learn how to trust God in the midst of all of it. Hallelujah! In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord, for her heart blossoming, opening up to you, Father, in ways that some ways she never has, some ways that she has before. But like Peter, when you start walking, begin to sink, you right there, you grab him, put him back in the boat. Yeah, where'd your faith at? It's like sometimes what God does. Where'd your faith at, Randy? Where'd your faith at, Cheryl? Where'd your faith at? Oh, okay, God, thank you. And then pretty soon we're back at it again. He's preaching to 5,000 people the day of Pentecost. Amen. Just totally shocked everybody. Amen. Because he's a water walker, as you say. All right. 831-596.
Hi, Randy. It's Noelle in California.
Hey, Noelle. All right. I did not even know that was your name. That's amazing. Hey, good to have you tonight. All right. My friend Noelle, thank you, Jesus, for Noelle. Thank you, God, for that place of subduing the enemy, of subduing, where we subdue, God. We subdue fear. We subdue. We take things under our feet. We put them under our feet in Jesus' name. And you know, sometimes things are left in the God's hands. Sometimes God says, you know, I've given you the power to subdue. You know, God, the Bible says he put all things under our feet, but yet they're not all under our feet. Why? Because he did the work. Now we come in agreement with that work. And we begin to subdue things and put things under our feet. And Jesus saying, because of what Christ has done, because of his blood, because of his victory, because of what he's paid for. Because the richness of the fullness of God, of the Godhead of Christ Jesus that we walk in, live in Jesus' name, and that the times and season that we're walking in, we're going to see God, not only God's provision, but we're going to see God's protection like never before. We're going to see the heartbeat of God, Noel, the protection of God, the provision of God, because God's going to show his mighty hand. Are you kidding me? That's great. The church is going to be here during the Great Tribulation. Is God going to show his hand of provision like he's never shown it in all the born, all the days of the world? He's going to show his provision to his people like he's never, like it's never happened before. Because why? He's got an antichrist. He's got all kinds of these things, these contrary things. These people think they can control everything. God's going to show that he's going to let them do it for a little while, think they're in control, and then he's going to come in and subdue them. Thank you for that subduing power, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for showing her how to walk in that, live in that, move in that, in Jesus' name. We put things under our feet, Father. Amen. And in Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the peace that passes understanding, God. We say, well, God, you give her that peace. Father, to know that you are the author and you are the finisher of all things. And when you start something, you finish it. You finish it. And so, you know, you do your work, you finish the work, and then you subdue the thing, and yet it's not all been put under our feet. And you use our feet because we become partakers, Noel. God lets us become partakers of actually putting those things under our feet through the power of the Holy Spirit, through our faith, through our belief in God, through our knowing him, that he the joy of knowing that you and I, the Lord, you know, the Lord in you, that is, you know, I is saying, thus saith the Lord. The Lord says, I and you do it together. And he says the joy that not only you get out of so doing it with him and by his power and the excitement of all that and the glory of all that, it is amazing. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, God. That's why you love working with us and working through us, because when the victory is wrought, we both rejoice. We cast our crowns down to you because you crowned us with victory, and we cast the crown down. We know who gave us that victory, but we still did it together. Hallelujah. Together again in Jesus' name, working through thick and thin, again, together again in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Victory. Subduing all things under his feet. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Nicole says, pray for her mama, Alice. Thank you, Lord, for Alice tonight, God. We thank you for the spirit of grace, Father, your unmerited, undeserved favor, Father, to reveal your hand, God, of provision. God, that you're opening up blinded eyes. And let Alice see, God, that you are her provision, you are her love, you are her friend, and that she does not have to protect herself or provide for herself, or you know, but you are her provider, you are her provision, God. And Jesus saying that her heart will not fail for fear, but it will swell with faith, it will swell with confidence in you, God. That the faith that you got inside of her, God, I'm speaking to the faith inside of Alice tonight. I'm speaking to her faith and her love in the name of Jesus. I speak to her faith tonight. I speak it to come forth in the name of Jesus and break through the barriers. Break through those inadequacies. Break through those fears, God, tonight. Faith of God, come forth in her in the name of Jesus, like resurrection of Lazarus, and come forth in the name of Jesus, the faith of God in Alice, in the name of the Lord. Let it come forth in Jesus. Let it break through all the bangs, the bands of death, and the wrappings of death, like Lazarus was wrapped up in the wrappings of death. That's what they do. They wrap them up. When they die, they wrap them up, and he told them to unwrap him. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, unwrap her, God, and bless her, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Okay. All right, let's see, 831. Oh, I already did that, Noel. I'm half asleep, y'all. I'm awake, but, yeah, if I'm all here. Jesus. That's my love of the prophetic realm, Noel, is that part that God uses me, and the joy that we have together in the fact that he used me. It's just amazing. He used me, God. Wow. I get all thrilled and excited knowing that he's, without him, it wouldn't be done. But yet he says, Randy, you know, without you, I can't do certain things. Without you, I need your mouth to talk through. I need your heart to believe. I need you. I need somebody in the earth that has the dominion of a man that I gave to men to agree with me, and we work together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're welcome, Nicole. Thank you. Yeah, you were dozing off. Nothing new around here. All right, that was sweet. Thank you. Thank you, Noel. God is good, man. I know, it's like amazing. I'm just so grateful. You know, we do things together, Noel. That's what's so beautiful about God, is that him and Adam and Eve, you know, God wanted to do things together with them. He made the whole earth, and he said, yeah, you guys, you know, just, you know, I'll come down and visit, and we'll talk, and I'll share, and we'll, you know, you'll use my wisdom, and we'll do it. And, you know, he gave them the right to do it themselves. But to do it with him was amazing. He loves to do it with us. He loves working with us. He absolutely loves it. And there's nothing higher level of blessing than God and man working together to bring forth the will of God. And the woman who said the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table, I mean, just think what her agreement did, what her faith did. Oh, it really impressed Jesus. He couldn't resist that. He couldn't resist that. He can't resist when we have faith in him, man. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. All right, y'all. It's 12:10. It's midnight. We've had a great week to week. Going to be a week this week. I'm going to be here tomorrow, praying over offerings and praying over people and taking communion and doing all the fun stuff. Kind of the end of the week thing and sealing it off with the blessings of God and praying over God's people's money. And believing God for that provision from the Holy Spirit, from the Father, to increase and multiply you. Amen. And to bring blessing. Amen. Much, much blessing. All right. Pray for those that are failing, and pray that those that are not failing, if they fail, they get right back up. Amen. Pray that they don't fail. But if they do fail, if we do sin, if we do mess up, that they will get right back up and go at it again. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. All right, y'all, I guess that's it for tonight. Well, thank you for calling. Thanks for getting in there. And I'm going to call it a night, 12:12. All right, nobody else is getting their hand up. All right, what awesome words tonight. Okay, thank you. All right, we love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.